totally depends on what kind of Batman you like.
That's what it depends on. If you like the serious,
on you being wrong.
If you like the serious acting side, you go with Christian Bale.
No,
best
it
Batman
has to
ever.
Do with context. If you pick up a 1965 copy of Batman comic book,
right,
and you pick up a modern Batman comic book, you tell me which one seems as if he's walked right out of the comic book onto the screen. That's what we're talking about.
Right.
Perfection in the role.
If
that's what we're talking about.
If you want a comic characterization of Batman, you go with Adam West. If you want a real characterization of a great dude that could be Batman, you go with Christian
But the characterization
Bale.
Of Batman in 1965 was what Adam West was doing. That's what the comic book was at the time.
Right.
He perfectly embodied that.
In 1965,
better,
it was great.
Better than Christian Bale
oh,
does.
Christian Bale's the best Batman ever.
No, it's just not true.
Oh,
it's the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. This argument got started during yesterday's Showbiz Beat when Ralph was talking about the upcoming Justice League of America movie. We started talking about some of the casting decisions that have been announced. Then we started wondering who's going to play Batman, and then we talked about Christian Bale, who Kevin erroneously thinks is the best Batman
best
ever.
Best Batman ever by far.
And then Ralph points out that really everyone is a pretender to the throne. Everyone who's ever put on the bat suit since Adam West is basically just trying to either not be him or be just like him because he nailed it.
Right.
It was perfect.
It's
but,
Sean Connery and James Bond. It is the definitive take on the role, and
no,
everything else is variation.
No, it isn't. It's not like Sean Connery and James Bond because Sean Connery and James Bond was a real role and he played it real. Adam West was a comic book character. He played it for schmaltz. He played it for...
He had two levels of a performance going. He had the action-adventure stuff for the kids, and then grown-ups could appreciate the comedy level of it.
It was cheesy as hell.
And comedy's much harder to play than drama, by the way.
Maybe, but if you want a real Batman, you go with Christian Bale. You don't
but
go with
I'm
the
telling
cheesy
you, that was
comic
the
book
real
character.
Batman.
Then, yeah, 1965
yes. So
goes.
How can you knock his performance for being exactly what the comic book character was?
I don't think Kevin's knocking his performance because, like you said, at that time he embodied what Batman was about. But at this time, if you were to pick up current Batman comic books and the graphic novels, I think that Christian Bale embodies the current Batman very well. So, I mean, if you're putting it in context, that you got to make the comparison to time.
I'm not knocking Christian Bale as if he's horrible. You know, he's not...
Well, of course, he's the best.
He's not the best, and that's what I'm
saying.
He's
no George
you.
Clooney.
Best.
Adam West is the greatest actor performance
Adam West
of the
is,
Crusader oh, ever.
Adam West is the 72 Miami Dolphins, and other great football teams have come and gone, but you know what? They're not perfect.
Adam West saved the character
case.
Of Batman. They were going to cancel the comic book series until that TV show hit the airwaves.
That's
there
great.
There would be no Batman if it wasn't for Adam
that's
West.
That's great in 1965.
And the success in that performance.
But that's because they hadn't seen Christian Bale by then.
It's just, you can't say that Adam West did not cement that role on television in terms of live-action performance for forever. He's the guy.
I can agree with you on that, and yet Christian Bale came along and did it better.
No, it didn't.
No. If you could only have one,
Christian
Kevin,
Bale.
Well, then
Christian Bale
wrong.
By far.
I gave you an out.
Yeah,
I gave you an out.
Exactly. Josh and Torrance, good morning.
Hey, what about Michael Keaton?
I thought he was fine. I thought he was
he
good.
Was fine.
I thought he was good.
He was fine.
But he's not the best.
He's no Adam West.
Come on, for God's sake. He's no Christian Bale.
I thought Kilmer was good, too. I thought Val Kilmer did a good job.
He was all right, but he's not the best, like Christian Bale.
The problem, guys,
so
is
you're
when you get
in the film versus the character versus the actor. That's what you're saying. You like the Batman Begins movie best because it's probably the best representation of the modern take on the character.
And
Christopher Nolan did a great job with the film.
Yes, and I didn't
but
watch
I think
the TV series.
I don't think you can separate the performance versus the project here is what you need to do.
Performance versus the project.
Adam West embodied that character 100%, where Christian Bale did a fine job in a good movie.
You
don't
I'm
think
going
that,
to
okay.
suggest that yes. You like Christian Bale best because it's really the only one you remember.
Well, that's possible.
Kevin likes everything yesterday. It has to be modern for him to get on board. He does not like classic.
I've seen all the movies, and I did watch the series in reruns, and I think Adam West was fine. But as far as a billionaire playboy who anonymously at night fights crime, I thought Christian Bale had that like romantic allure, and he had that playboy essence about him, whereas Adam West, like Kevin said, is kind of campy.
Adam West, campy, small screen. Christian Bale,
but isn't campy
real,
as if it was accidental.
Big screen.
Like, he accidentally was campy in the role. That was the purpose of the role.
I agree.
He committed. He articulated exactly what they were trying to do to a perfect level.
I agree with you, and I'm not again. Like you're not knocking Christian Bale. I'm in no way knocking Adam West. I'm saying that if there's a guy who yet picked to be the real Batman, out of all the people that have ever portrayed him, I think Christian Bale hit it on the nose.
Well, there's no real Batman, so that's really not part of the conversation, I don't think.
The problem with Psycho Mike being on my side is he just wants to have sex with Christian Bale.
Right.
Well, that is
problem.
True.
So that doesn't help me at all.
But in his defense, I desperately want to make love to Adam West. So.
two things, because we're running desperately late on time. We're very, very busy here this morning. Thing one is, could Christian Bale have done this?
Adam West.
No.
But he wants softer now. Adam West.
He's a cartoon.
Adam West.
Thing two is, exactly. Is there any way to decide this? Is there any answer to get a definitive
I wish we knew a
decision.
Decider. I wish we knew a decider.
Mine's the final decision. I hear the voices, and I read the front page, and I know the speculation, but I'm the decider. Decider. And I decide what is best.
When life's mysteries seem unsolvable, when the hard questions demand a final answer, America turns to the one man we can all trust. He's Kevin Smith, and he's the decider.
Mr. Smith?
Good morning, gentlemen.
How are you?
Kevin Smith.
First off, let's say for the record that nobody has done a bad job playing Batman. If you go through the list of the Tim Burton movies, if you go back to the TV show, Adam West.
Clooney was pretty gay.
No, even Clooney was
fault.
Good. I mean, Clooney was in a gay film.
All right.
But his performance, I mean, George Clooney is fantastic in everything.
Are we right. trying? There's no Timothy Dalton in the Batman.
No, there's no George Lazenby.
Right.
But are we trying to compare to...
And also, you guys didn't give props to Kevin Conroy, who voiced him on Batman, the animated series.
And in my opinion, the best performance of the character across the board, but we're not talking about animation.
Right.
Unfortunately, I don't know anything about that.
All right. Kevin, Christian Bale, Adam West.
Those are my only two choices?
Best of all time.
I can't go the Ooh. Obvious or the truth, which is Michael Keaton.
Wow.
Whoa.
Kevin Smith going off the board.
You
look at that.
Michael Keaton still hands down. And look, I loved Christian Bale's performance, but to me, Michael Keaton really nailed Bruce Wayne. He didn't look like Bruce Wayne in terms of have the physical physicality, the imposing, you know, stature
right.
of a Bruce Wayne / Batman. But, you know, the suit took care of it. Right. Suit that I would have, the suit that even I would have looked muscular in.
Kevin, what about Keaton's performance nailed it for you? What did he do differently?
You need to look no further than there's a moment. It's like a 3-second moment, throwaway moment in Batman Returns, the second Tim Burton Batman movie, mm-hmm. when he's in the sewers driving the bat skiff to confront the Penguin
right.
in his underground lair.
Yeah. Right.
Two penguins emerge from the water with missiles on their back.
Mm-hmm.
They launch at him. Batman does a quick left or right, and the skiff kind of does a round
right.
on the tunnel, and the missiles completely miss the bat skiff.
Right.
As the skiff rights itself, there's a kind of a medium close-up on Keaton as Batman, and he does the most subtle look back. Like, doesn't turn his head or anything. They can't because that outfit was kind of
sure.
tough to maneuver in, but he gives this subtle look back with his eyes. And doesn't give this overt expression, but the subtle look back in his eyes that says, I can't believe this is my life. I was almost killed by two missile-toting penguins.
It sounds like you've spent some time in slow-mo there, Kevin.
That is a fantastic moment that defines that character. And also, you know, you go to the first Batman movie, the first Tim Burton one, when he's playing Bruce Wayne at the opening party. You know, there's the opening scene, of course, where he has the two... the muggers on the roof, and
right,
he
right,
says,
right.
I'm Batman, and jumps over the roof. Then there's the party, the benefit, charity benefit at Wayne Manor,
mm-hmm.
and his performance as Bruce Wayne I thought was fantastic because he's just so not in touch with everyone else. He's so uncomfortable in the Bruce Wayne persona. You can tell at the party he's a dude that's just longing to be dressed in the Batman suit because that's who he is. You know,
so you're
Bruce
saying Wayne's we go to the right guy.
Adam West, Christian Bale, not either of them. Number one.
Going for Keaton.
Michael I go with Keaton. But, I mean, again, it's all minor degrees of separation. It's not like, you know, Michael Keaton is miles above everyone else. To me, he's the best. But I don't think any of them have turned in a bad performance. However, I will say for the record that back in 88 when they started shooting the movie, since Tim Burton was directing, I thought the alumnus that he would choose from one of his previous movies, he went with Michael Keaton from Beetlejuice. I always thought Alec Baldwin, circa 88, would have been the perfect Batman Bruce Wayne.
He was pretty studly.
Interesting.
I mean, it was. They tested the theory later on when he starred in The Shadow, which, as we all know, is kind of similar. Lamont
right.
Cranston, The Shadow.
Right.
But, you know, it's not, the script wasn't quite the same. But I always thought he would have been a great choice, his delivery.
All right.
Once again, the man gives us way more than we possibly even knew we needed, and we liked it.
And for all your Batman needs for this holiday season,
yes.
Jay and Silent Bob's Secret Stash on Pico Boulevard, right here in very own Los Angeles, in the heart of Laser Blazer, the best DVD store on the planet.
There you go.
If you want comic books, you want Batman, anything, that's the place to go. And you can buy a DVD while you're there.
Where are you today, the decider?
I was in Pittsburgh until last night. We're in pre-production on Zach and Miri Make a Porno. But I came home for a friend of mine, Brian Lynch, getting married, and so I came home for his wedding.
Well, and by the way, the announcement finally made that Seth Rogen will be starring in that for
That's right. Seth Rogen and Elizabeth Banks. Says, yeah, we got lucky, man. It's huge for us.
How hot is Elizabeth Banks, by the way?
She's great.
She's insane.
She's fantastic.
She's so hot and so talented.
You need to hit that, Kevin.
Yeah.
I'm married.
Me?
Whatever.
I hit nothing except my fist and my wife.
All right. Those just joining us, you've been hanging on the edge of your chair. Is it Adam West or is it Christian Bale? The answer, ladies and gentlemen, Michael Keaton. He is the decider. And once again, he comes through. Thank you, Kevin. Happy holidays to you, my friend.
Guys.
Thank you,
man.
Have you been following the story about the pandas in Thailand that won't have sex? They're trying desperately to get them to have sex so that they can continue the, you know, the pandas.
Species, yeah.
Well, pandas are notorious for not procreating, and especially in the wild. It's very, very difficult to get them to mate. They have low sex drives to begin with. They're one of those sets of animals that only has sex like once every couple of years or something like that, and very rarely does it end in a pregnancy, and it's very, very difficult. That's why they're on the endangered species list, partly.
Just because they won't do it with each other. Now they're putting one of the pandas on a diet because he's too heavy. He'll crush her.
Oh!
If he has sex with her.
Yes.
So they're putting them on a diet. So we thought we'd check in Thailand with the zoo. Good morning.
Hello.
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 Is this the Thai zoo?
Yes, this is Thai zoo.
Well, we're calling to ask about the fat.
Who's
about
laughing
the...
Nobody.
Who is laughing?
It sounded like somebody on your end.
No, I think it was your end.
Okay, all right. Sorry.
Is this a zookeeper at the zoo?
No, this is Cheng Cheng.
Oh, this is the panda.
Yeah.
You're the fat panda. Okay.
Yeah, panda.
First of all, Adam Carolla got a lot of trouble for saying Cheng Cheng. Are you sure it's okay for us
up
here?
No, that's his name.
That's my name.
That's your name. Okay.
I think he got trouble for saying Ching Chong.
Which is not. That's completely different.
So Cheng Cheng.
Okay. Very different.
You are not only a fat panda, but you speak English.
Well, not so well. I try speak English.
Mm-hmm.
I learn from porn films.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that because it said some of the people there at the zoo in Thailand were honestly considering showing you panda porn.
Yes, to teach me how to put Wing Wang and Ding Dong.
What? What is panda porn? Where do they exactly get that from?
Well, pandas show up at door and say, "You here? I deliver pizza for you."
Right.
And then woman panda say, "Come in. Would you like some bamboo?"
Right.
And panda delivery boy say, "Yes, but I have a stock for you right here."
Okay. They have the same porn music we do.
It's universal.
How about that?
But Cheng Cheng, is the problem that you need the porn because you don't know how the pieces fit together? Or is it, as I understand, that you're just too fat for your mate?
Well, they show me porn to give me idea.
Right.
But the only idea I got was to eat more and just take care of business myself.
To have pizza. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, he does.
I just kick back and wax on, wax off.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
How much weight do you need to lose before you won't kill your partner having sex?
I got to lose about 10 kilograms.
How much is that?
I don't know.
In pounds.
In pounds. I don't know. I am not from your country.
I see. Okay.
You
right.
Do some math.
I don't know how to do that.
Lazy motherfucker.
I'm sorry, did you say frack?
Fracker, yes.
Okay, fracker. Just
oh, you're watching the Battlestar Galactica too. I see.
Okay.
Maybe that's the problem with your sex drive.
maybe.
Cheng Cheng, don't you feel like you have some obligation to keep the species alive, though?
Nope.
I mean, really? Because worldwide, pandas are an endangered species, and it seems like we need panda babies, and that's in your department.
That's tough. Tough darts. I don't care. I'm living my life.
Is Mrs.
I can't worry about the species.
Is Mrs. Panda not attractive to you?
She needs a wax.
No.
She's a hairy bitch.
Well, she's a panda. She's a bear.
But still.
Not a woman.
Come on. You know? Clear cut the forest a little bit down there. You smell like a zoo.
Oh.
Or maybe it's the zoo.
Yeah, that could be. You're in a zoo, so that could be it.
I think the problem is my cage keeper, he's feeding me too much.
Oh, is that right? You keep eating too much.
He gave me this thing called Thai stick.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is, but it tastes good.
Yeah? And that makes you want to eat?
It makes me want to just lay around and eat.
Yeah.
And not have so much bang-bang with Ling Lo.
Yeah, that Thai stick, I think, is pot.
What?
First, an update on
the act that dare not speak its name.
Dun, dun, dun.
Wow.
Where do we start?
Oh,
where
geez.
Do we start?
Here's where we start. There was a big party last night, and Dave, the King of Mexico, the one man stereotype, and the whore, our assistant producer Alex,
hello,
were both drinking and got to Psycho Mike's house about the time he was getting up to come into work.
I've never seen Mike so pissed in my life. Mike,
wonder why.
Pissed.
Bad enough the guy's got to get up at the crack of midnight to get to work, and then you people come in all drunk and rowdy.
Hey, I had a good time.
Whatever.
Yeah, sure.
Hey, guys, let me stop you right there and ask this question. Don't Dave and Alex work on the same show Mike does? Didn't they have to get up and come
to
work?
We're on a special holiday schedule. Maybe.
No. Well, you know, Mike was up at 3:30.
Right.
And I was like, all right, cool. We got about an hour to sleep.
By the way, I don't know if you can tell, but Dave's still drunk.
Yeah.
No, I'm not.
Yeah.
No, I'm not drunk. I'm not Paul Abdul. Yeah, so, you know, I look at the clock and I'm like, all right, it's 5:00. Let's get up. And turns out the clock was wrong.
Yeah, it's the clock.
Sure,
it was the clock wrong.
Yeah. Mike, is your VCR not wrong?
I don't think so. I mean, maybe it is, but it's never bothered me. I mean,
just to let you know, it's an hour wrong.
Yeah,
do you guys not have any?
Were you expecting?
Who goes by VCR time?
Were you expecting just to roll over?
No, Dave set his alarm based on that. So then he set it in.
Doesn't his phone have a time on it?
Well, I didn't hear that. Alarm.
Guys, we may be swinging wide of the important point here. We have business to take care of.
We heard that this was going to happen and that Alex and Dave were going to be crashing at Mike's house. We said, wouldn't it be funny if Psycho Mike, who's a chronic person who has him share of himself more than most, wouldn't it be funny if he...
the act that dare not speak its name.
If he what, Ralph?
If he enacted the act that dare not speak its name, on one of our coworkers.
Wouldn't that be hilarious? Right.
Oh, that'd be so freaking funny.
And so,
$100, $200, $300, $400, $500.
Oh,
there you go.
My God.
Congratulations.
So, Kevin and I,
congratulations.
Kevin and I decided to pony up some cash, and we offered Mike $500 if he could commit the act.
The act that dare not speak its name.
Did you take a picture? Because I have nothing on me.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
But I have nothing on me.
I'm sorry, Alex, you do.
Mike, Dave's the witness.
Is it in my hair? It's not in my hair.
A lot of it was.
Mike got.
It's not, though.
Mike got Dave up just to look.
But it's not in my hair.
Mike got Dave up just to look.
Dave would not vouch for me for no reason. It was.
No. I believe Dave, but it's not. Where is it, though? Because literally, we just woke up and we got in the car.
I think it's on his pillow now.
But right after it happened, and I got Dave to vouch for me.
Wait, it's got to be ears forward if it's just in my hair.
Most of it, the brunt of it, was in your hair. Because she took like a hat. She was well aware of what was going on.
Yeah.
She took like a blanket. And covered her face like a guy on a motorcycle.
Because it's not on my face.
And then she took a hat, like a cowboy hat that I don't know where she got.
Which we got at the bar. Thanks, Jake. In Pasadena.
I don't know the cowboy hat. And she put that on the side of her head.
So you didn't have much to shoot for, so to speak.
So ears forward, where is it?
I would say a milligram to 2 milligrams hit the face. But a good...
But it's not on my face,
tablespoon
though.
The act that dare not speak its name.
According to
the cheek. And I was like...
Good morning!
No. And Alex was so passed out that she didn't realize. And I'm like, oh my God, she's not waking up. Awesome. Because I like... Right. I was in you my were... box, so I was prepared.
Right.
And and I got Dave to wake up, and right as she, I was like, shh, Dave, don't wake her up. And she rolls over on my pillow and just like, and smooshes it all over my couch.
The act that dare not speak its name.
I rolled it off my hair and cheek into your couch.
You did.
Because I'll do a check with Lisa in the bathroom right now. There's nothing on
me. I would like to see that check.
It's a lot cheaper than $500.
Lola's getting a good
stop it, Dave. Get out of here. What's wrong with you?
David. I just threw up.
Get out of here.
David. Wow, you got that by a millimeter. You got $500 by a millimeter.
Yes, he did.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
What I didn't realize is how little that would bother her.
Yeah.
That's what I didn't realize.
Well, because I did the best I could,
it happens
and I was
all the time.
Out and...
The act that dare not speak its name.
Well, Alex is surprised in the mornings when she wakes up and there isn't something on her face.
Lisa May, what country immediately springs to mind when I tell you this is where the second richest man in the world lives?
Well, I would think in the U.S.
You are correct. Mexico City, ladies and gentlemen. Mexico City has the second richest man in the world. I'm going to be completely honest and tell you that I'm sure Lightning has admired this guy for years because he loves the billionaires. I never heard of this guy before this week. But Carlos Slim is his name. So it's Bill Gates at number one. And this guy, who apparently made his fortune in wireless telecommunications, is number two. He's worth $53 billion. Okay?
Whoa.
$53 billion.
That is unbelievable.
In a country where minimum wage is about 50 cents an hour. It does seem like he could own Mexico. It just seems like he could literally buy everything in Mexico for $53 billion. But we thought, how crazy is this? And what a unique opportunity we have to talk to the man himself on the phone right now. Ladies and gentlemen, Mexican billionaire Carlos Slim joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Buenos dias, Kevin. How are you, man?
We're good. How are you?
Woo! I'm rich, baby. Hey, Chico, I'm rich. Hey!
Was that a,
well, good morning to you, man.
Was that a gunshot?
Yeah, of course it is. Yeah, you like
okay.
that?
Woo!
Why? Baby.
Right, but why?
Like are... not, Chico.
Okay, but why? We like you very much, Mr. Slim, but why are you shooting off a weapon? It seems like that would be dangerous.
Because I can, bitch. Rico, hey, take that, eh?
Now, there is part of the story that's a little bit troubling is that you were criticizing the philanthropy of Bill Gates and Warren Buffett.
Hey, why you give your money away, you pussy, huh? I work hard for the money, you know what I'm saying?
And you said businessmen can do more good by building solid companies than by, quote, going around like Santa donating money.
That's right, man. You know why? They're weak, man. They're... I came up, made my money on the streets. I sell jiggles, you know. I do the donkey show and I'm a little boy.
No.
You know, there's like 7 years old with the mustache. I'm in Rosarito Beach. I'm in Rosarito Beach. I sell chicles. And now I make TV and I make money, baby. Yeah!
Forgive me if I'm wrong, but it says here you have Latin America's largest mobile phone company.
That's right. I'm multimedia, baby.
You have banks. You have internet providers. You have oil industry.
Anything
and
you want.
Retail stores
Anything
and restaurants.
Anything you want. Okay. I get you what you
but,
want.
All right. But here's what I don't understand, senor.
I got chicken too, bitch. I got chicken. You want chicken, Chico?
No, thank you.
No, we don't.
We don't need a chicken. But here's, I think, what Kevin was asking is, why are Bill Gates and Warren Buffett, why are they, to put it in your words, pussies for trying to improve the world by giving money away? I mean, they're using their money to help, cure diseases, get clean water to Africa, and they're doing a lot of good with it.
Because, Chico, you want to know what I do with my money?
What?
Let me see here. Look at this Dodger blanket I got, eh?
You have a Dodger blanket?
It's so warm. I was cold. Now I'm warm.
But how much money
did... It's got Dodgers on it, eh?
Don't they give that away free, sir?
Hey, whatever.
Okay. Right. Yeah, but
I
with
got
50...
a 1983 Nissan Mini Trucker. I just put a huge mural on it where I'm dressed like an Aztec and there's a waterfall hitting my head and my girlfriend, my highness, next to me and she's got bullets covering her chichis. It's beautiful.
But with $50 billion, you could buy the company that makes the car. You don't just have to buy a beat-up used car. You could do so much more with that money.
Hey, I'm Mexican. I got $50 billion, no credit. You know what I'm saying? Universal City, Nissan, what can I do? Hey, man, you know what I'm saying? I got a floor-to-ceiling stained glass window with the Virgin Mary in a Raider jersey.
In a Raider jersey.
That does sound impressive.
Wow.
Yeah.
You sound like you're quite out of breath, sir.
Hey, I'm rich.
Yeah?
I'm fat.
Okay.
Hey, I talk about my hyena. I got the mural on my truck.
Uh-huh.
I bought that bitch lifetime supply of press-on nails, hairspray, and eyebrow pencil.
That doesn't sound like it's putting.
Chico.
That doesn't sound like much of a dent in your in your wealth.
There's eyebrow pencils all over the house. It's amazing. You want to do an eyebrow? I said, walk over there. Mira, look, eyebrow pencil right there, everywhere. Look right here. Look at me, find one. Look at that. Oh, eyebrow pencil in my hand.
Well, you're living the big life. I'll tell you that.
Huge tattoo. Mr. Cartoon come down with a tattoo on me.
Oh, you got cartoon.
Of my mom in her baptism dress.
Right.
Holding two guns, doing the L.A. Dodgers sign with her fingers. Her nails are like 3 inches long.
That's a hell of a tattoo.
I pay the Gap Man and Rolls Royce to live in my house and play me do up song all day.
Is that right?
You know, Drew Barrett is playing for me.
They live with you.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm living the life, Chico. And I tell you what, man. I got a pool in my backyard.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I go swimming, you know what I'm saying?
Of mm-hmm. course, yeah.
I bought 15 pair of Levi's so I can go swimming every day.
You don't have a swimsuit?
Why don't you wear a swimsuit?
That's what you wear in the pool, right? In the water, you wear Levi's.
Levi's? No.
No. No, what you doing?
You're wearing board shorts.
No, no. You go in the water, you need the Levi's.
Okay.
All right. Maybe the Dickies.
We got to take care of some business here because there's hate in the room.
Well, tell me who this chick is because I don't like her much either, but I don't know anything about her.
I know very little about her. Rachel Ray is her name. She has probably 10 of the best-selling cookbooks of the last 2 years on the bestsellers
really?
List. She's enormously popular. She had a show on the Food Network that was very popular.
Don't
and then she
that.
Got picked up, and now she has her own nationally syndicated daytime show that I think airs at like 10 in the morning or something like that.
I think
that.
I saw like one news piece on her. I don't know if it was, I don't remember what it was, but she just struck me as annoying.
Very
really?
Annoying. She didn't
yeah.
look annoying at all to me. She just looked so
well,
fake.
She's
average.
A little overly perky.
I
was
totally.
I was annoyed.
She does have a little bit of the Kelly Ripa overly perky kind of
a little
chick.
Bit. What's wrong with
but
you?
But she's so small on my radar. Like,
yes.
I don't have any clue who she is or where she came from. You say she's on the Food Network. I never
right.
watched that. I don't know anything about her. She just struck me that one time as being annoying. Omar, who's in the studio now, is obsessed with, he's being eaten alive by hatred for her.
No, I don't know what it is. I have never seen her talk for more than a minute. I didn't even know she was on the Food Network. Just, she came into my life a year ago, and the second I saw her on TV, just, oh, I couldn't turn off the TV fast enough. It's, she sickens me.
Here's how.
They're doing what, look. I hate Dane Cook, okay? But the reason I hate him is because he's not funny. Mm-hmm. And he's hugely successful and popular in comedy, yet he's not funny. What is it that Rachel Ray has that burns
just
you?
Just the way she... Okay, I'm so cute, but I'm not skinny, but I'm not too fat, so everybody will like me. Ooh, just
she
shut
doesn't
up.
Say,
just shut
she
up.
She doesn't say any of those things.
I wouldn't know because I don't listen to her.
No, that's the sentiment coming through whatever word she's saying. Now, here's how this came into my life. I saw a Wheat Thins box with holes cut in it.
Yeah.
And I was like, what in God's name is this? Why would anybody cut holes in a box?
Yeah,
besides Psycho Mike, and we know why he would do that.
Right. Uh-huh.
And I found out that it was Omar because Rachel Ray's picture was on a box of Wheat Thins.
Yeah.
And he tried to take them back to the store because he was outraged that Rachel Ray was on the box of Wheat Thins.
You didn't want to have that box in your house?
No, yeah. I was pretty upset at my girlfriend from bringing it into my house.
Went back to the store, talked to the manager, tried to return them.
Tried to get a box from, like, in the back. You know, I went and made him go check in the back, see if they had, you
get
know,
get, like,
something.
An Osama bin Laden box or something that's less offensive.
Something.
Wheat Thins, fine. Picture of her, offensive. So much so that he went back to the store to ask for a refund.
I want
to
make sure I understand. One of the reasons you hate her is because she's not too fat and she's not too thin. She's just kind of average build.
No, that's
how do you hold that against her?
That's just she thinks she does it for a reason, dude. And I know she's got some sort of sick secret that she like kicks puppies in the dark and she eats babies.
What's
dude? I know there's something wrong, dude. No.
So he can't return the box of Wheat Thins, so he cuts out the picture of her face on four different sides of the box. You can see there's a picture up at the krock.com. Go to the Kevin and Bean sites page. There's a picture of Omar with the box that he's cut. He literally cut it, and he didn't do this like as a bit. He did it out of rage.
Oh, yeah, and then every time I go into like a bookstore and I see her books or whatever, I'll turn them around so they don't face with her face.
Do the eyes follow you?
Yeah, it bugs me. All right, one time I was at a Circuit City and her show was on, and I just, you know, I talked to the whoever was working there and I made him change the channel on all the TVs.
On all of them?
Because I was in the store.
All right, let's say good morning to Chris in Hollywood. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, what's up? What's up, nephew?
We're not quite at that segment, but tell us about Rachel Ray. I don't know anything about her.
Listen, I live with my girlfriend. We've been living together for 3 years, and she's been watching her for a while. And I don't usually watch cooking shows because I don't cook. And I started watching her, and she is so incredibly hot.
Oh my God, what is wrong with you? Hang up on this guy.
I used to love Omar. I thought he was so awesome. I felt so bad for him, but now I realize he's an idiot.
Well, I hate you.
She's not. I wouldn't go hot. So far as to say she's hot, but she's an attractive, yeah. I guess.
No. Chris, if your picture was on Wheat Thins, Omar would cut your face out.
You're dead to me.
Hey, Kevin Amin, I heard you guys talking about how Omar hates Rachel Ray. This email from Dave begins, I want to let you know that I firmly stand behind him. I can't stand her face either. I saw the Wheat Thins box at the grocery store and informed my wife we would not buy Wheat Thins anymore until she was taken off the box. I searched through the boxes to find an older one without her stomach-turning head on it. How can I eat crackers with that doughy Quasimodo looking back at me? I hate her with the power of 1,000 suns. Tell Omar I'm on his side. There's nothing wrong with his behavior. I would like to start a movement to rid the planet of this obnoxious jelly roll.
That's what I'm talking about.
We got this on the Afro line.
Omar, you are so right. Rachel Ray is a
But the point is that Kevin makes is, why is a woman that we barely know exists, how did she become elevated to terror cell that Jack Bauer needs to be called
in on? She's not even on the radar.
Just rubs me the wrong way. But I don't know what it is about her.
All right. Andrew at Pasadena is another guy who tried to return the box because she was on it.
No.
Yeah. Are you kidding?
No, dead serious. My ex-girlfriend and I, we always used to buy the Wheat Thins. And she came home with them one day, and she came home with 2 boxes, and one had the face and one didn't. And I can't stand Rachel Ray.
Why?
I love cooking, and I watch the Food Network all the time. I've seen her show. She makes me want to throw up. First of all, she's not a cook, but she has shows on the Food Network talking about $40 a day, and she has these awful responses to everything she eats. You know, she'll eat something, she goes, that's tasty, and it only cost me $5.
Oh, God.
But isn't that what people who are watching cooking shows want, is something that you can make that's cheap and
something
tastes
about
good?
Her that's instantly
something
annoying.
Something that you can make. She goes to different towns and tells you how you can live on $40 a day in each different town.
Superwhore, by the way.
Beach, so like, yeah, right.
Our assistant producer, Superwhore, says that Oprah discovered her, too. So that's like strike 1, 2, and 3 right there.
The guy who called, who said she's hot, should be fired immediately.
What, from what? From dialing the phone?
It doesn't work for us.
We can't fire a phone caller. All right, fire from life. Okay. All right,
let's take one more. Let's go down to Huntington Beach. We've got Eric on the line who also would like to weigh in. Apparently, there's a big Rachel Ray controversy brewing in this country that I was not aware of. I thought Al-Qaeda was the enemy. Apparently, no, it's Rachel Ray.
I hate RachelRay.com coming soon.
Oh, really? Nice, Omar. Eric in Huntington Beach. Hi.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. Rachel Ray, I didn't know she existed until Omar cut out her picture on the box.
Oh, she is the most annoying person on the planet. My sister TiVos her show every effing day and makes me watch it.
She can't make you watch it? Wait a minute, Eric. She can't make you watch the show?
I come home from work and that crap is always on.
What, you don't have legs?
It never comes off the TV.
Is she more annoying, seriously, than Joan Rivers, for instance?
Rosie O'Donnell.
Rosie O'Donnell.
Yeah. I don't say that, but she makes up her own language that doesn't make any sense.
Like Joan Rivers and Rosie, it's like a train wreck. You know, you can't wait to see where the hell this goes. With some reason,
it's clearly bad.
Yeah, no. Her is just nothing. It's just all sweet and non-offensive and just be real. It's just like,
you know what?
Fake.
That's
too freaking fake.
That's what annoyed me about her. You put your finger on it. She instantly to me, she seemed fake.
Yeah,
she was very Rick Dees-esque, where she just is full of hype and no substance.
It's nonstop, 100% of the time. It's
why do you have to hate what you don't understand?
Omar, Amy in Tustin says, have you tried her recipe? She's helping working moms.
Shut up!
First, what's the problem here?
We do have a very angry listener on the line right now. Meredith is on line 4, and she is calling from somewhere in Midget Valley. Hi, Meredith. Good morning. You're on the Kevin Beach on K-Rock.
Are you guys kidding for real? I mean, you cannot be that obtuse, really.
Kidding about
using the midget word, perpetuating it. I mean, really, you can't be stuck in the dark ages that much, or can you?
Pretty sure we can.
Yeah.
I mean, well, are you guys aware of how utterly demeaning that word is towards little people, or are you just not.
I don't think we probably do understand how offensive it is to little people.
Although no. I think they get that it is offensive.
You know what? I would love to come in and give you an education. How do you feel about
hey,
it?
Hey, now you're getting somewhere.
Ask a midget.
I don't think that's what she means, Kevin. I don't think that's what she means.
Ask but, a midget.
I think she's pretty, pretty clear she doesn't like that word, too.
Oh. Let me ask you this, Meredith. In all honesty, I'm very curious the answer. Don't you kind of decide whether you're going to be offended by that word or not? And if you're comfortable with your size, it's not going to bother you. And if you decide you got a big chip on your shoulder and you hate tallies, then you decide you are going to be offended by it?
You know, that's such an unbelievably ignorant question that I don't even know if I can dignify that with a proper response. But the answer is no. Okay. I don't decide. You decide by using that word in a really offensive way.
But there's no way you can't be offended by it. In other words, the word is so heinous to you that you cannot let it roll off your tiny little back.
First of all, the word is not just heinous. It's inaccurate. And the fact that you continue to just use short puns is just like such frat humor. I'm so shocked that you guys can't do better than that.
Have you ever heard this show before?
Why don't you give me the opportunity to come in? I mean, I do.
That sounds fun.
I would love to do that.
That sounds like a good time.
Meredith, they're all about frat humor. You listen to the show, right?
Actually, I don't listen to the show.
Well, that explains it.
Then let us tell you, we're all about frat humor.
They are.
Well, you know,
they're very immature.
It's not funny.
Well,
not.
And by the way,
we've heard that before.
Meredith, since you don't listen to the show, just for your information, I don't know why you called today, but just yesterday we were talking about how much we would like to own a midget. It's not like we're against midgets.
Oh my God.
That's why I called in today, because I got about 7 phone calls from people that did listen to your show and were utterly outraged with the fact that you believe little people should be owned as pets.
They're kidding, Meredith.
There's nobody big enough who could put a collar around my neck and walk me around town. See, the point is that midgets are bite-sized. They're people McNuggets. You can actually have them because they're small enough that you can keep them in the barn.
Oh, Bean. Why are you doing this?
What? Am I wrong?
No, I'm wrong.
Midgets aren't small, right? I'm wrong.
How wrong? But I'd love to tell you that to your face. Why don't you call me Fun Size and all these names that you have?
Oh, good. We didn't do that one yet.
I would love to see you do that.
All right. Meredith.
Meredith is going to kick somebody's ass.
I like Meredith very much, though. Why not Ask a Midget? We've been talking about wanting to do Ask a Midget. Meredith, would you come in and field questions from our listeners to find out what your experience is like as a little person?
See, you are capable of using that word. Congratulations. You just used the appropriate terminology. So if you continue to call me a little person, then yes, I would be happy to. But if I come there and you continue to call me a midget, then no.
It's awfully tempting to call you a midget, though.
But do you think you could just
but you know
call
what?
It
it's
off
tempting.
Without doing that?
But it's tempting because you're being so obstinate about it. That's what's tempting about it. Because
Here's the thing, Meredith.
Get that upset over, so it's fun.
Meredith, these guys love to push people's buttons.
Right.
And as long as you continue to get agitated by them, they will continue to do
it. We can't help ourselves.
If you saw me in person, do you watch the show Boston Legal?
Yes, and you're very good on it.
Okay, so then obviously you know who I am.
Yes.
Okay, so I think that if we were face-to-face in person in an intimate setting, I would challenge you to
see how
many times you would call me that word, because I don't think
that face
to
belt
happen.
Buckle, let's be honest.
Meredith, you don't know Bean.
Listen.
If you're asking that question.
Listen, really it's only, I'm telling you the
I
truth out.
I stick with Mark and Kim.
Okay,
oh,
good.
Oh, dear God.
It's only funny to us because you're so outraged by it. If you weren't, it wouldn't be that much fun.
Right. If they can't get a rise out of you, they don't get a kick out of doing that to people.
Well, you know, I don't subscribe to that
so
philosophy.
I think, well,
but they do.
We're not asking you if you do. We're telling you that's what...
You don't have to do it on your radio show.
But we're saying that when Bean says, why don't you choose to not be offended by it, that would make it go away a lot quicker than calling us and calling us a bunch of names and stuff, because now it makes us want to call you a midget more.
Well, but, you know, but then where do we go from there?
All right, I'll tell you where we go, Meredith. We're almost out of time. We're almost out of time, but I'm glad you called. Ask your owner if you can come in, and we'll do Ask a Little Person. No, I said Little Person, Ralph. What are you talking about? You also said owner. And we'll do Ask a Little Person, and you can give us your side of the story, and listeners can call with questions.
Okay, I'll have to think about that.
Okay.
Sounds like a party.
As an aside, Meredith, I thought you were really brilliant in that episode of House where you played the mother of the girl who was size challenged and you worked on it. That was a great episode.
Well, thank you. I appreciate
Very talented actress.
Thank you. Glad you
called, Meredith. Thank you very much. We enjoyed it.
Take care.
Okay, bye.
See you later. Bye-bye. I don't want to own that one, though. I'll tell you that.
understand we've done a lot of radio already today, Kevin. We've been on for more than 3 hours. We've had some good guests. We've had some laughs, but none of that matters.
Nope.
Really, we're just treading water, just killing time to get to this point right now.
Due to the graphic nature of this program, parental discretion is advised.
Let me add...
And a warning here. We're dealing with a sensitive subject, which is not suitable for young children.
And perhaps one more.
This program contains images which may be disturbing to younger or sensitive viewers. Parental discretion is advised.
Although this was on the news...
It
this
was
is a newscast.
I know. That's true.
This is a newscast from Idaho Falls.
If you missed it yesterday, we got an update here. And the reporter you'll hear in the story standing by to speak with us on the phone as we explore what's going on with the phantom pooper.
Well, we live in eastern Idaho where it's not hard to go outside and get a breath of fresh air.
But one local neighborhood can barely breathe because of a disgusting, gross, vile stench in the air.
Jolynn, that's right. I wanted to see what all this stink was about. Phew, and boy, did I find out. Now, I do have to warn you. What I found was disgusting, so if you have a queasy stomach, you might want to look away during parts of this.
A phantom pooper is taking a squat just out back of one Idaho Falls neighborhood.
If the wind blows the right direction, you can smell it through our back door.
Okay, so this is a reporter now who's going out and asking people about the phantom pooper.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Taking a squat. Catch the person, though. I think it's disgusting. He should be put in jail.
Yes.
Here's the scoop on the poop. The city has gotten so many calls about the phantom pooper, they've set up a pooper stakeout to see if they could catch him doing his business.
But from what I understand, they still haven't caught him yet. Even though they've staked out the area and sat and watched, they still haven't caught up with him yet.
Okay, now here's where she recaps kind of what we know.
Here are the clues to the phantom pooper's identity as we know them. His preferential place to leave a log... is under the Lindsay Boulevard overpass. He fancies himself a bit of a Rembrandt.
Now, here's my favorite part. He fancies himself a bit of a Rembrandt. Listen to this.
You know, I don't know why they want to finger paint with it.
Oh, come on. Come on. All right. Well, the voice on the tape is the voice on the phone here at K-Rock right now. Let's welcome KIDK Channel 3 reporter Mary Sturgill to the Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning, Mary. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning. How are you?
What a great assignment. You're so lucky.
This is what you went to college for, right, Mary? This is it.
Yeah, it was an incredible assignment. Never in a million years did I think I'd ever have to cover that.
The phantom. Did you have a meeting in the morning where you go over the stories and somebody gets assigned to each story and they said phantom pooper Mary?
And that's exactly what happened. One of the reporters brought the story in from one of her sources and it got dumped on me.
So it was
dumped on me. Yeah.
You can't stop.
Mary, where did the name the phantom pooper come from? Was that you?
No, that was actually the group. He's actually called the phantom defecator. So we softened it up
a little bit.
Oh, okay, wow.
I'm shocked that you soften anything up. Your newscast has got stinky and squat and leaving a log. That's a...
It took a long time to find all those different ways to say that.
Yeah, well, no kidding. How many people did you interview?
We interviewed two people, the two people that appeared... Actually, three people. Sorry about that. We interviewed three people. Two of them appeared in the piece.
Right.
And then some city officials who, you know... probably didn't want to appear in the piece.
Well, of course not. Nobody wants to appear in a piece on a phantom pooper.
Exactly.
Why did your station... By the way, thank God for the YouTube. I mean, obviously, we wouldn't know about this report in Idaho Falls, Idaho, if it hadn't been for the YouTube. But
right. Why
did your station spend so much time on this story and go into such detail?
Well, when my news director came to me with the story, we talked about how to do it. We wanted to make it funny. And, you know, we cover, you know, sex offenders and all the horrible news of the day. And we wanted to make this light and funny because, you know... The funniest thing is, you know.
Sure.
You know.
Sure. Yeah, we know.
Right. We gotcha.
Yeah, so we wanted to make it light and funny, and I did talk him into moving the piece to 10 o'clock, so it's not during the dinner hour at 6 o'clock.
Right.
So,
thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, but what about this? I mean, we're all familiar with poop, yet you do go into probably more detail than is necessary for the average viewer. When you start talking about, when you got that interview with the guy talking about the finger painting, Do you have to? Does it need to be on camera? Isn't the image already burned into the brain just when you hear that he smeared it all over the wall? I mean, do we need to see it?
I think, it's TV. You have to see something, and that's the topic of the day. So.
You know, I don't know why they'd want to finger paint with it, but.
Come on. All right, did they catch the phantom pooper?
No, he is still on the loose.
He's still at large.
He's still at large.
Is the theory that this is a statement he's making, or is he a homeless guy? He just doesn't have a place to go, or does he have some sort of mental illness? What are the theories behind it?
There are lots of theories. The main theory, I think, is that it's a homeless person, or if you look at video, there's so much of it. It's got to be more than one person, I think.
Yeah?
But,
really?
Oh,
so you have a copycat Phantom Pooper?
I think we do. I think we do. And since I did the story, I found out that it happens all across the nation.
Mary, you know what's really weird about this is it does happen all across the nation.
Yeah.
And we had this problem for about 6 months.
Yep.
Where it would happen clearly away from the toilet.
In our studio, at the radio station.
And there were people like trying to catch who it was. And somebody reported that he saw blue shoes. And we were checking everybody for blue shoes. I mean, how common is this?
Apparently, it's very, very common. One gentleman in the piece talked, he owns a campground. And he's in connection with campgrounds all across the country. And apparently, it happens in every campground across the country. So.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I don't know if we have, by the way, if you're just joining us, Mary Sturgill is on the line. She is a very fine reporter in Idaho Falls, Idaho for Channel 3 there. We're talking about the Phantom Pooper story that we brought you yesterday. There's a woman in the piece, I don't know if we have the tape available, who talked about how she could understand if the guy pooped once. All right, everybody gets a pass when you got to go.
Right.
And then she starts going into all this detail about how you can kind of feel it coming on and you ought to be able to plan better ahead. I mean, there's been more investigative reporting from your station in Idaho Falls on the Phantom Pooper than we've had in all of the war of Iraq. I mean, it's unbelievable the resources you put into this story.
And you know what? It's the story people are talking about.
All right, let me ask
it's what
you.
What people want to know about, apparently.
It is. It's the first time we've had you on. Let me ask you one last question.
Sure.
You see occasionally a TV show where there are a bunch of fires being started and the fireman shows up and he's the hero, and it turns out the fireman was setting the fires so he could be the hero.
Interesting.
What are you suggesting,
Mary?
Kevin?
Are you the Phantom? Are you the Phantom Pooper?
No, I am not.
And then you go out and interview people about it.
Exactly. No, I am not. But we have had several emails, people claiming that they were the Phantom Pooper.
Oh, really?
Oh yeah. And several websites out there, if you check some of them, Bitbar and things like that, have people talking about who they think it is, and it's just so funny.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
What is the if they find the Phantom Pooper? What will the charge be against him? What law is being broken here?
Well, this is the thing. I talked to several people about that, and basically the only thing they can charge him with is a misdemeanor of maybe indecent exposure, depending on how in the act they caught him.
Right.
You know, or, you know, disturbing the peace, maybe.
So oh, disturbing the peace? Nothing. I'm going to go out and start doing that. That's fantastic.
You know, because people walk out and they have this horrible smell, so they're disturbing their peace.
Wow.
I guess, yeah. Well, this has to be among your favorite stories you've ever done since you've been on TV, I would imagine, right?
Yeah, it's the funniest.
You sound like you have a good sense of humor. Do you call your, your relatives or somebody and say, listen to the story I'm on today?
Absolutely, I did.
Fantastic.
Well, we're going to be keeping our...
You're not going to believe what I've come to.
No kidding.
Yeah, no kidding. We're going to be keeping our eyes peeled on YouTube for an update, and I'm sure from time to time you guys revisit the story on Channel 3, right?
Yeah, we're working on that. We're working
on it. 10-piece series on it.
All right. Fantastic. Hey, wait till 60 Minutes picks this one up, man. Look out. All right. It's KDIC Channel 3. In Idaho Falls, Idaho. Mary Sturgill is the reporter. Thank you so much for joining us on the Kevin Bean Show. We've enjoyed it.
Oh, thank you, guys. Have a good day.
Thank you. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
I just have one other question.
You know, I don't know why they want to finger paint with it, but...
Hey, is Steve-O dead yet? Have we got any reports from the parking lot?
Stop it. What's wrong with you?
I'd be surprised if he made it back out to the car.
He's fine. He's,
dude,
he's
sounded
fine.
Rough. Sounded way rough.
I know. I know he sounded rough. He looked.
Yeah, but you don't need to sound that rough for that long before eventually it kills a man.
He looked better than he sounded, I'll tell you that. He did. Okay. He did
much better.
His eyes were clear. He looked fine.
His fur was shiny. His tail was wagging.
Now, let's talk about, Al Gore's movie came out. And everybody's worried about, the greenhouse effect and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all driving cars. But they're still selling a lot of those gigantic, what do you call them?
The big SUVs?
Yeah, they're still selling tons of those.
Like the Range Rovers.
Tons.
And, yeah, I know.
Well, more than half the vehicles sold in America are still SUVs.
Yeah.
So apparently not everybody's on board with the message.
Right. And the same thing is happening in the restaurant industry. Everybody's saying, ooh, gotta cut down on fat. Can't eat this kind of food. Can't eat that kind of food. And Hardee's is going to say, nope, I'm telling you right now, we got a new country breakfast burrito, and it's enough food for the whole day. They are packing it with 920 calories, 60 grams of fat.
Oh, my. Dude. Wait a minute. Just stop. 60 grams of fat in a burrito?
A full day's worth of saturated fat and salt. It's
What is in this thing?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Lisa, because we asked producer Lightning to line up the nutritionist for the Hardee's food chain, and he is on the line right now. Let's say good morning to Dr. Clark Novak. Good morning, Dr. Novak. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're good. How are you?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
Good. Well, now, Kevin made a reference to the country breakfast burrito. I want to make sure we get our facts straight here before we conduct the interview.
On.
Tell us what's the deal with this.
Sound, huh?
Well, tell us what's in it.
Well, it's two omelets made with fresh eggs.
Okay.
That are filled with bacon, sausage, diced ham, fresh cheddar cheese, hash browns, and sausage gravy, and all that is wrapped up inside a flour tortilla.
You have to put gravy in there as well.
Like everything you put on a plate of food when you order breakfast.
Right. It's moist.
That's a whole day's worth of food right there.
Jeez.
Yeah. Well, you know, breakfast is the most important meal, fellas.
I have heard that. Now, I want to make sure we have this correct again. How many calories, how many grams of fat in that one breakfast burrito?
It's approximately 920 calories and about 60 grams of your fat.
Wow. Wow, that's strong.
Yeah. I mean,
you need a good start to your day.
And that's it?
Yeah, you're going to burn off a lot of those calories, you know.
Hardee's is the restaurant. The Center for Science in the Public Interest, a Washington-based advocate for nutrition and health, has called the Hardee's line of thick burgers food porn.
Wow.
Oh, come on.
Food porn is what it is.
Have you guys tried the Monster Thick Burger?
No.
That's what she said.
That's 1,420 calories.
Oh, my God, are you kidding?
It's made up of 2 third-pound slabs of beef, 4 strips of bacon, 3 slices of cheese, and mayonnaise on a buttered bun.
Now,
thank
Dr.
God
Novak,
you buttered the bun.
That's the monster thick. But well, again, you got to keep it moist.
The monster.
When you eat that much food, it's hard to choke it down unless it's nice and slippery. We like to butter up the bun for you.
For some of our younger listeners who don't really follow calories and fat and stuff like that, what is recommended? As a nutritionist, what is the recommended amount of calories the average person probably needs in the course of a day?
Well, it depends. Depends on your activity. I mean, you could burn up to a million calories in a day.
Right, but how much
are you sure?
If you're like running a marathon around the world really fast.
You're not really a doctor, are you?
I am.
Okay.
Yeah, I went to DeVry.
No, that's a very good medical school.
Yeah.
But so.
But the average, like a chick who, what's your, Lisa May, is that
her
name?
Yeah.
Yes.
About 1,600 calories if you're sedentary women.
1,600 for sedentary.
So I can have that burger, and that's it.
Yeah, well, look, that's convenience. That's the convenience of fast food. You just have to eat once.
I guess you won't be... Okay.
Well,
won't be,
it's certainly inexpensive for a day's worth of
won't
food.
Won't be hungry all day.
But like a teenage boy, or you know, if you're an active adult, you could burn 2,500 calories in a day.
Oh, so this is nothing.
So you can eat two of those.
Yeah, get two.
Okay.
So I recommend. Eat two of
country,
them.
The country breakfast burrito, that's out now. That rolled out today, I guess, in Hardee's restaurants. And clearly, with the success of the Monster Thick Burger and now the new burrito, clearly this is the direction Hardee's is heading. And what other kind of stuff are you working at there in the lab?
Well, we're concerned about health, too, you know. You can get the country country breakfast burrito. You can get an egg substitute.
You can get an egg substitute.
Yeah, we substitute lard for the egg. A lot of people don't like eggs. Too eggy.
Eggs are eggy.
And if you get the combo, you can wash it down with what we call the Mug-O Fudge.
The Mug-O Fudge.
Which is a coffee-flavored fudge that we just melt down and put in a cup for you. You just wash it down with a mug of fudge.
That sounds good, but awfully fattening, doctor.
For the ladies, if you're watching your waistline, you can get our new sweet corn salad.
Sweet corn salad.
Yeah, it's candy corn on a bed of cotton candy, covered with a diced marshmallow peeps.
Wow, that's a taste treat.
It sure is. Or for breakfast, you can also get the flapjack belly pumper.
The flapjack belly pumper doesn't sound good.
Oh, no, it's great. We hook you. It's for people on the go. We hook you up just to a high-pressured hydraulic hose system.
Right.
And we just pump pancake batter, maple syrup, and melted butter into your stomach.
Wow.
And
you don't even have to chew?
Like an Ethiopian. And then we turn it off once you hit that stage.
That's quite a service you provided, Hardee's.
And last, we got the new mouth stretcher burger, too.
The mouth stretcher?
Yeah, it's 17 pounds of chopped animal.
What animal?
Whatever we got lying around. 8 pounds of Jarlsberg cheese.
Right.
And a bushel of tomatoes.
Wow, that doesn't sound good.
We have to actually dislocate your jaw in order to get your mouth open large enough to get it on your throat.
That seems, that's extreme eating right there, Doc.
We use a speculum. Just open up your mouth.
God.
Wow.
Whatever speculum we have laying around.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm afraid of. Yeah.
You are doing good work.
Well, watch it now with a mug of fudge.
Good idea, Doc.
All right.
So you're thinking of vacationing in Mexico this summer? Have we got a theme park for you? You got to check out the Echo Alberto Park. Looks like this is a good time, huh, Kevin? Sounds like something you'd like.
It does. It's odd, though. I'm surprised that it's not getting more people upset. And we did some checking. We're not positive if it's true, but it looks true. A BBC News report says that this is a place where tourists can go to pretend to be an illegal migrant. And basically what happens is you get ready, and it's at nighttime, and a guy named Pancho says, "Vamos, let's go," and they all start running, and then the police come after them later with guns. They're firing blanks, and it looks like they're crawling through bushes
oh
and
my God.
Going through tunnels, and there's a heavy flowing water stream that they have to cross, and if you get caught, you get arrested. It's the whole thing.
So it's like war games. It's like the geeky
yes.
guys who play army on the weekend, but this one you pretend to be crossing the border, say, from Mexico into the United States. So you're swimming the Rio Grande,
yes.
and you're going through the Arizona desert, and you got the La Policia after you, and you just are just going for it.
The equivalent of $19.50 here in America. You can spend a night living like millions of Mexicans who actually risk their lives crossing into the United States. That's the point behind the park.
Fantastic.
Wow.
You know, I'd like to make a point before we talk to our guest, because I understand producer Lightning has lined up somebody from the park for us, and that is that I didn't cross the border. The border crossed me. Okay? I just want
okay.
you to remember that.
All right. That's a good
So
tip.
What's the deal with the Echo Alberto Park? Let's go down to Mexico and find out with our correspondent on the scene here on the world-famous K-Rock. Good morning. Welcome to K-Rock.
Thank you for calling Migrant Mountain. My name is Rudy Cisneros. How can I help you?
Rudy?
Rudy?
Who's this?
It's Kevin and Bean, Rudy. Kevin.
Oh, what's up, babe?
How you doing?
Hey, what's the chances, Holmes? What's happening?
What are you doing down there?
Oh, dude, I got a job, eh? Look at me. Check me out, eh? Picture me
Rudy.
Pimping, eh? Like, I got a job down here. They called me up. They're like, we need a consultant, eh? To, like, help us make it more Chicano, you know? Like, to help us, like, get an American perspective from a Hispanic. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, I'm down. You know what I'm saying? So, like,
Rudy.
I'm just down here chilling, like, you know,
Why
making
is it-
waves.
Every phone number we call in Southern California, doesn't matter if it's in L.A. or San Diego, or we call Mexico, we call Chile, we call anywhere, you're the guy who answers the phone. I mean, can you not keep a job?
I got holes in different area codes, you know what I'm saying? I move around town, you know what I'm saying? I'm making waves, making waves.
So you're working at the Echo Alberto Park?
You could call it working, I guess.
Okay, well,
not right now, necessarily.
There's our pal Rudy, yeah. Now,
you know, I'm like, they ask me questions about stuff, you know, like, it's an amusement park, I guess they want to, like, emulate, you know, crossing the border,
right.
you know?
Right, right.
But, like, right now, it doesn't have much to offer. You just run around for a while, and then you go swimming, and guys blast at you, you know, with fake guns.
Right.
And then you go home, you know what I'm saying? So they really want to develop it to really, like, draw, like, you know, people, like, tourists that come down, they want to go to an amusement park, eh?
So it's not a done deal? They're still putting...
Oh, no, man. Like, it's working right now, but, like, we're constantly in construction trying to develop it
okay.
and, like, get more attractions and rides, you know? So it could be, like, a big-time amusement park, you know what I'm saying? So, like, instead of you and your hyena, you could say, hey, let's go to Magic Mountain, you know what I'm saying? Let's go to Disneyland. You're like, let's go down south, eh? Let's go to Migrant Mountain. Let's chill
Migrant
out. Let's
Mountain.
Bone out. Let's go there, you know what I'm saying? So, like,
okay.
they call me up. You guys want to hear, like, what we got, like, in the works right now, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm still trying to get my head around you being a consultant for anything.
Nah, man, I got crazy ideas, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I get all blooded, I start thinking stuff up, you know? And they're asking me, like, you know, like, what's a Hispanic lifestyle? You know, we want to emulate Hispanic lifestyle, you know what I'm saying?
But, Rudy, why would a company in Mexico, with a theme park in Mexico, need to go to somebody else to find out about the Hispanic lifestyle?
They want to come to America, you know, so they want the American Hispanic lifestyle, you know?
Oh, so they need
okay.
your perspective on it.
So
you
the
know
immigrant.
Got, like amusement parks, they have the Haunted Mansion?
Yeah.
We're gonna have like your mama's mansion.
Your mama's
it looks like
mansion.
Your mom's house. You just sit on the couch and watch the Raider games. She comes in. You're like, she's like, you're 33 years old. Go get a job, eh? And you have to just sit there and smoke blunts all day, and then like, you know, then just that's it. She's like, you gotta get a job. You gotta go move somewhere else. You're a grown man.
Is there an endless Raiders game on a loop?
Yeah, you just watch a game and you just smoke blunts. It's pretty fly, you know.
Okay, I thought you'd like that.
They have Autotopia. You know,
Autotopia,
like the cars
okay.
they come around and like they give you a ride.
Right.
But this one, the cars come around and you have to fix them.
You have to fix the cars.
Yeah, they're like, oh, I only got one wrench. Look, I have to fix this Regal. Oh, man, that's crazy. What a crazy ride.
Okay.
They have the people mover, too.
Oh, the people mover.
Yeah,
okay.
But this one, it's like a Chevy truck, and you sit in like a fake Home Depot, and the guy's like, get in the back of the truck. Hey, I'm going to take you somewhere. And you get in the back of this truck, he drives you crazy places. You go, where am I going? Eh? He's like, just shut up. Work hard. Eh? $10 a day.
Right. So you jump into the back of a truck with like 40 other park patrons and just go wherever they take you.
It's fun. You just sit there. You're like, you get to the front of the line, and then if a Chevy truck comes up, you're like, clean. There's all these vatos in the back. You're like, what's up, Charlie Holmes? And then you go, jump in, and then you get in, you drive around.
Wow.
It's pretty sweet.
How about that? That sounds great.
Like, instead of Pirates of the Caribbean, we got Pirates of the Carabiner.
Sure.
It's pretty fly, you know, because, like, Pirates of the Caribbean, there's, like, the robot puppets that, like, running around and, like, ooh, I'm a pirate.
Yeah, exactly.
But this one's got girls with, like, the eyeshadow, like, all drawn in, and like, their lipstick, they're like, the baby's yours, I swear, and, like, in a little... But then you don't have no boat or anything. You don't have a boat. Instead, you wear jeans in the water because you're like, I don't wear swim trunks. I'm a Hispanic. They just walk around in water, and there's the hyenas coming out, crunchy hair. They have crunchy hair, and they're like, I'm going to get you. The child is yours.
Well, you know, that's awesome, Rudy, because it sounds like maybe there's some work for Sad Girl down there at the park, too.
Well, I brought that hyena with me. You know
what
I'm
did?
Saying? Yeah, yeah. Right, and then, that. Like, you know how they have the Bear Country Jamboree?
Oh, sure, yeah.
We got Bear Country Slow Jamboree.
What's that?
You just play slow jams. I guess I have to really think that one out a little more. But, like, you go to a mountain where there's, instead of, like, Huggy Boys there in Art LeBeau, and they play slow jams.
Right, they just bring out the doo-wop records and you dance, right.
You don't really dance. I haven't thought that one out yet.
You might want to work on that one just a bit.
Yeah. So what do you got so far on the list of things that have terrified us in recent years?
Well, you got your mad cow.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You got your monkey pox.
Right.
Remember one summer?
I wanted the monkey pox, by the way. Never got the monkey pox. I always hoped to get that.
Remember one summer it was the summer of the alligator attack or whatever that was?
Oh, yeah.
Right. I do. That's right.
Bird flu was going to kill us all.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
West Nile virus.
That's a good one.
E. coli spinach. We've had a lot of real, real scary things, but this one, what I'm telling
killer
you.
Killer bees, dude. What about the killer bees?
Killer bees.
But I'm telling you right now, this is the one you should be afraid of, and the media is downplaying it because they don't want you to go crazy.
I agree. We're talking about the brain-eating amoeba. This isn't something that we just made up. This is something that actually has killed over a million people so far. And John Randolph is the writer of the Lake Havasu News Herald article that caught our attention. I'm right about those facts. A million people dead from this brain-eating amoeba, right, John?
That's slight exaggeration there.
How many so far?
I think since 1995 there's been at least 30.
Okay, wow. Well, that's close enough. Now, we're talking about Havasu here, right? This is a place where a lot of people from Southern California go throughout the course of the year.
No work, no stress, no problem.
Except
that's what they say.
That's Havasu.
The brain-eating amoeba.
Now,
is it true or is it not true that the latest kid that died was in Lake Havasu and some amoeba crawls up your nose and eats your brain?
True.
Dude, what's this all about? What do we need to know?
All right. Well, here's the most important thing is it's not just Lake Havasu that has this.
Oh, good.
It's an amoeba. It's found in 70% of freshwater lakes.
Okay. In the United States. You're a little slow on the sound effects there.
I'm sorry. 70% of freshwater lakes.
There you go.
So it's much worse than we even knew, right, John?
Exactly. And so, you know, I was talking to the state epidemiologist that's the state health official, and she was saying, hey, look, this could be any warm freshwater lake, and just because you had one case here, it could be another lake next summer, it could be in California, it could be in Texas, it could be anywhere, and it's a freaky thing, it just happens. You know, once in a while, this thing happens.
Look, wait a minute, just a second now. An amoeba that crawls up my nose and eats my brain. You can't just throw that off like, just sometimes it happens.
It's like sunburn, Kevin. Occasionally it just happens. There's not much you can do about it.
Some way of protecting yourself or...
Okay. Now, here's the thing. People say, all right, basically it shoots up your nose in a jet of water. Now, this is freaking... This is freaking people out because they're saying, hey, I'm water skiing, I'm wakeboarding,
sure.
I'm jet skiing, I'm doing all this stuff. And the thing is, this thing only lives in shallow, warm water, real shallow. It lives in the sediment at the bottom.
Okay, so it's fresh, too, so it's not surfing off the coast.
Okay, it's just fresh water. Okay, just fresh water, as far as we know.
So like Lake Hollywood, for example. Right? Boom,
John, are you a real newspaper reporter?
I am. I'm a real... legit newspaper writer. I don't know how legit that means, but
okay.
I get paid.
Because we interview a lot of reporters. You just don't sound like one. You sound like a guy who's making stuff up as he goes along. That's all. I'm not trying to discredit your credentials. I'm just saying, are you sure about what you're telling us here?
I'm looking at this thing that I wrote right here.
Okay. You're sourcing yourself is what you're saying. Okay.
All right, let me ask you this. If the amoeba is in 70% of freshwater in the country, is that what you said?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Why so few deaths then if this amoeba is so widespread?
Well, no, you'd have to ask a scientist about this because there's been so few deaths, there's very little that's known about this thing and how it really works.
It's waiting to pounce. That's why it's got an effort where they're all going to hit us at once.
Now I'll tell you the reason why we don't think that's the case is that there's only been 300 or so cases worldwide since the 70s.
Right,
this is when they first discovered this thing.
Was there a kid at Havasu within the last couple of years?
No, this is the first one ever.
That's what I'm saying, though. He just got it, didn't he?
He just got it.
All right, then everyone run for your life.
Now, what are the we talk in general terms about the amoeba goes in your nose and eats your brain. What actually happens to you from the time you are infected in the water, like this patient in Lake Havasu? What happened to him and how long did it take before he died?
I think it took 11 days.
Wow.
Died. And now what happened was...
Did his just brain start? Did he, like, couldn't understand language 1 second, and then the next second he went blind, and then...
No, this is a tragedy for this family here, and we all feel really horrible.
Right, but
it.
Help us whip everyone into a needless frenzy.
What
that's what we do.
Was, and this isn't going to make it sound any better, but, you know, it takes a couple of weeks, or it takes about, you know, a couple of days for the symptoms to appear. They're flu-like, headache... fever.
Oh, good.
Chills.
So it looks
everything
just like everything
symptoms.
Else.
Exactly. And eventually, really what people need to know is it kind of appears to look like meningitis when it gets serious. It has those same similar
and what's
symptoms.
That? Is that
right?
Really, really like bad headache in the back of your head kind of a thing?
Bad headache. And then...
Because part of your brain is gone!
And so...
Timing now.
Yeah, okay. You've got it now.
Yeah.
So... It finally, in the severe stage, looks like meningitis. And the thing is once this thing is really into the severe stage, it's hard to diagnose.
Excellent. Good. So
that's because at that point it no longer looks like meningitis. It looks like brain death.
So you're saying freshwater lakes like Lake Pyramid, for example? Lake Mead?
Any warm... Freshwater lake.
Raging Waters?
McPowell.
Oh, good point, by the way.
Magic Mountain. All right. Irvine, all those places?
I'm sure this has gotten to the CDC, Center for Disease Control in Atlanta. Do they have advice for people? Should people be avoiding freshwater, or should people just be taking their chances and going in there?
Now, here's what people – that's a good question. And here's, you know, any freshwater lake, you know – and first of all, this only tends to affect, and they don't know exactly why, but boys –
Really?
Young boys, you know, say like seems Sorry. That what seems to be the route of transmission is warm, shallow water, you disturb the bottom of the lake.
All right.
You know, you're kicking up sediment or something, and then you go diving into it and you're swimming around, and somehow this thing gets into
right
your nose.
All right, so what if you plug your nose?
Plug your nose.
You're
dude.
Fine? Then you're good?
Plug your nose.
What about people's swimming pools at home?
There's been one case.
One case?
Now.
Don't go swimming!
Now what happened was there was no chlorine in the pool. It was full of junk and sediment and stuff. I talked to the epidemiologist who found it. They said, this is a freaky case. And, you know, this is not.
Yeah,
you chlorinate your pool, you have nothing to worry about.
All right. John is clearly trying to stop the spread of good information on our show, which is that you should avoid any kind of water coming in contact with your skin. That's basically
including bottled water.
Bottled water, showers, you should stay away from all of it. That's what we're hearing. Although he's trying to play that down. John Rudolph writes for a newspaper called the Lake Havasu News Herald, so he should know more than 1 million people out there have died from this already. So
he's
very,
30.
Very careful. Yeah, I know. Like I say, he's trying to play it down.
Okay.
John, thank you for the misinformation, man. We appreciate you coming on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, my pleasure.
Okay, bye.
This handicapped listener that you want me to apologize to in the 8 o'clock hour, I'm supposed to talk to her?
Yes.
She can't use a phone, Kevin. She's in a wheelchair. That's embarrassing to tell her to try to do that.
The wheelchair means she can't walk, Bean. It doesn't mean she can't talk.
So says you. Like, you're the expert on the handicapped. All right, that's coming up. And more tickets if you're a girl. We got a few seats left, or spots left, I should say, on board the Queen Mary Shipwreck for the Kevin Bean Scare the Ship Out of You Singles Party tonight. It's a big Halloween costume party, so if you're a lady, keep listening. We've got those coming up on K-Rock.
As time goes along, we discover new things about each other. I did not know that Bean was in the Boy Scouts. I had no idea that.
Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts, yeah.
Bean?
Yeah, Bean.
Did you go camping?
No. Let's be honest.
I don't really remember.
He doesn't remember any of it. Lightning was a Boy Scout, too.
Yeah.
Lightning got merit badges. Lightning got a merit badge in basket weaving. In basket
basketry. Yeah.
He did.
Dude, I'm a mother effing Eagle Scout.
What?
You can't say you got a merit badge in basketry and use the words mother effing Eagle Scout together in the same sentence.
You can't? Well, I went on to work in radio, so clearly I've made bad decisions.
Now, I know there are over 100 merit badges. And by the way, there are a million Boy Scouts in this country, too. So it's very much still alive and thriving. But I'm a little bit confused by, like, Lightning, you may remember, but a merit badge in bugling, for instance. Mm-hmm. Really? They give you a badge for being able to play taps or something? What's that all about?
There are quite a few strange merit badges. But yes, it's not just for playing taps. You have to master the instrument.
There's merit badges for coin collecting. There's merit badge for Indian lore. There's merit badges for dog care, for stamp collecting, for disability awareness, which apparently Bean hasn't received yet. There's a merit badge for nuclear science.
What?
Oh, my God.
There's a merit badge for fingerprinting. There's a merit badge for railroading. I don't know what these...
Remember we had a kid in here who was trying to get his radio merit badge.
That's right. I do remember that, yeah. I thought it was all... Honestly, I thought it was like, backpacking and whittling and things like that.
Yeah.
Is what you got merit badges for.
Whittling, yes. Well, here's why this story caught our attention. And this is really bizarre, but it's from the Los Angeles Times. The local Boy Scouts have connected up with the Motion Picture Association of America, and they're offering a new merit badge in the Respect Copyrights Activity Patch. And that's for Cub Scouts who go around, and Boy Scouts, who go around and tell other people that it's a bad idea to illegally download songs, movies.
Really?
Yes. So they can get a merit badge in the Respect Copyrights Activity Patch.
Yeah, that's no Wilderness Survival Merit Badge.
No, that's not. Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding you at all.
Getting a badge for not doing something.
For not downloading, essentially. Right. And for proselytizing other people to not download
illegally. Telling other people that's bad.
Right, exactly.
All right, we had to find out more about this because this is the first time I've heard of anything like this. So we asked Lightning to line up a spokesperson from the Boy Scouts of America, and we're pleased to welcome Mr. Clyde Wendler to the line. Hi, Mr. Wendler. Thanks for joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Good morning, fellas. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
Great.
Well, we're fine, but we're just, I think we're a little bit surprised as to the new areas that scouting is getting into. I mean, I know we're living in the digital age, but what's this merit badge all about, sir?
Well, you're absolutely right. We're finding that scouting has been a tradition for obviously many, many years. We're finding that modern day scouts are facing challenges and issues that scouts haven't before, and we like to keep up with the times, and we're trying to encourage our scouts to continue to be, you know, trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent.
Wow. What do they have to do for the Respect Copyrights Activity Patch?
What we're trying to do them is to encourage other youths that they spend time with to keep from downloading anything illegally, be that any copyrighted material, be it films or music, to try to obey the law in every level. We're finding that young people who wouldn't in a million years consider walking into a store and picking up a piece of merchandise and walking out with it are having no problems at home in their computers downloading something illegally, and we're trying to keep them to be law-abiding citizens.
Well, I saw in the article, I mean, they interview some of the Boy Scouts who say, look, you know, if you're 14 years old and you don't really have the money to buy a CD and you have the opportunity to get it for free, you're going to go ahead and do that. And that's the kind of mindset that your organization is trying to stop.
Right. It is easy to do, and it is tempting to do, and we're trying to teach our scouts to rise above that. You know, we train young people in citizenship, service, and leadership, and that means obeying the laws even when it's inconvenient or it's tempting to do otherwise.
So do they have to have, like, a certain number of saves or something where they can come into you and say, yeah, I had five friends this week that tried to illegally download, and I talked them out of it?
It's not a quantitative decision we make. You don't need to get notches on some sort of anti-piracy card or anything, but we do take it in consideration, and they have to have proven that they have tried to spread that word to the best of their ability. Sometimes they make up a poster that they hang in their schools, or sometimes we contribute in other ways to anti-piracy campaigns, but they can earn those badges, yes.
Right. Mr. Wendler on the line with us is the National Spokesperson for the Boy Scouts of America. We're talking about the changing face of scouting. What other kinds of areas are you getting into in the Boy Scouts of the 21st century?
This year at our Scout Council, we have decided to add several new badges to try to reflect current conditions that young scouts are facing up against. A new badge we're offering also this year is the Turning in Your Parents for Having Drugs badge.
What?
Yeah, if you find your parents smoking the dope or they have some sort of marijuana in the home, you call the cops. You turn your folks in.
You turn your parents in.
Hey, it's not easy. We're not saying it's easy. We say it's a hard choice to make, but it's got to be done because they're pot smoking pinkos and they need to go away. But need to do some hard time. Teach them a lesson.
That sounds like a narc badge, and it sounds like what you're doing is promoting splitting up families.
No, what we're promoting doing is staying clean and sober, and that comes to the parents too. And sometimes those parents are scum, and they need to go to prison.
Okay, all right, Clyde.
All right. So as sexual activities running rampant in our schools, you'd be surprised how many junior high school and unfortunately even grammar school kids are engaging in sexual activity.
Right.
So we're trying to discourage that amongst our young Boy Scouts, and so we're offering an auto fellatio badge.
I don't like the sound of that, Clyde.
An auto fellatio badge?
That's right. If you can give yourself a Hummer, we give you a badge.
Really? Oh, no.
Young men, to take care of themselves, they won't be so eager trying to get women to do it for them.
Psycho Mike, we get your interest now?
Do they have to show you that?
Well, of course. How else am I going to know? I can't take their word for it. They got to demonstrate it. And if they need help, I'm willing to be there for them.
Oh, Clyde.
Great.
Stretch them out, get them limber. That's
Clyde, come on, no. This has gone horribly awry.
Also, along the lines of being, clean and that kind of stuff.
Sure.
We're offering
stuff like clean?
We're offering a badge in pubic grooming.
In pubic grooming?
Yeah. As the young men, as they get their furry parts going down there after a certain age, we're teaching them to keep it clean and tidy and neat. So there's a manscaping badge that we give.
A manscaping.
And as long as you keep it trimmed and tight, half an inch, quarter of an inch, then you get your badge.
Do you measure?
Okay. I do. I do all the measuring. Yeah.
Sure, you do.
Now I think I'm starting to see a thread here. I think I understand what's going on.
I mean, sexual safety is an issue that's really facing kids today. I mean, a lot of kids are picking up STDs and sort of things like that. So we teach them to be safe. In fact, we've got another badge. Teach them how to make a condom in the wild out of bark and a ferret pelt.
That's impressive.
That's more than impressive.
If you're in the woods, you knock one out, you don't catch it.
Is this former Congressman Mark Foley?
Maybe.
Too bad we're out of time for what we were going to do here.
I got to tell you, something's gone wrong with Bean. I honestly think he had a stroke.
Yeah, there's some brain damage there.
There's some brain damage, right?
Some. I don't know. He slept funny and blood didn't get to the part of his brain and now it's dead.
Right.
Something.
In my defense, and I don't know what you have planned for me here, but in my defense, since Labor Day, I've not had 3 consecutive hours sleep.
Oh, that could do it.
Wow. And I don't know if, are you serious?
Well, because of the goddamn puppies. I mean, I don't know if that is maybe contributing, but I have been a little on edge lately. I will tell you that I'm not feeling like myself.
That doesn't help, I'll tell you that.
Bean's wife got 3 puppies, and they already had 3 dogs, so that made 6 with 3 puppies.
You're like that woman in Belfar with the babies.
Yeah.
What the hell is wrong with you?
You just had octuplets, but you already had 6 kids at home.
Yes. Well, don't take the fertility drugs.
I'm not saying that I'm turning on my puppies because I love them all very much, but I will tell you that I have a calendar in the room where I see that they are 6 months old now, which means I only have 12 to 14 years until sweet death.
Wow. Well, here's the thing. Bean is good at not letting it show. I really am. I'm starting to feel like Bean's infringing on my, on my character that I've so carefully created. You know? The guy who jumbles the English language. Right.
Sure.
That's a carefully crafted image that I have.
It is what you're known for.
Right. And all of a sudden, Bean seems to be wanting to get in on some of that action. I'm not sure why.
Bean?
Let me play some highlights.
All right.
This is Bean. We were talking about the video game that K-Rock is actually in. It's a driving game called Midnight Club LA,
mm-hmm.
Midnight Club Los Angeles. And here's Bean's question.
And now, a moment with Bean.
A copy of Midnight Club Los Angeles.
No wonder you love this game, Kevin. You get to drive 245 miles an hour through the streets of Los Angeles.
Wow.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I do not
I don't know what time
that.
Of day they set the game in, but
midnight.
Think about it.
I'm thinking midnight.
Well, I guess.
Don't know what time of day that is, but.
I withdraw the question.
That was a moment with Bean.
Okay, so you're saying maybe the tip-off to what time of day the game
yes.
is played should have been in the title.
The first
it was
word
in
of,
the title.
The first word of the title was midnight, and so
yeah,
that
I
was
maybe realize that.
That was a little baffling.
Yeah.
Okay, that was a that's kind of a brain fart. Certainly.
Okay.
Yeah.
So yesterday, the day before, when were we talking to Elizabeth Banks?
The day before.
Day before, about the uninvited.
Mm-hmm.
My man Bean looks at her. Filmography or history,
yeah.
and
mm-hmm.
picks a movie that looks like it was a horror movie, maybe 7 or 8 movies ago. It came out in 2006, but for her, it was 7 or 8 movies ago. And he started asking her about that, and we couldn't figure out what the hell he was asking and why.
Now, I know that you were in Slither, and I remember seeing that movie at the time, but it seemed like it was a long time ago. What stuff did you do in Slither?
What stuff did I do in Slither?
Yeah.
I don't understand the question.
Where are you going with this, Bean?
Who were you in Slither? Did you chase snakes? Did you... What did you do back then?
All right. So that was question
She's
one.
She's here promoting this new movie, and
yes.
all Bean wants to talk about is a movie that we could now get on DVD, I guess. If
My point was,
it, and
she's a comedic actress. She's, you know, in role models and all these kinds
right.
of movies, 40-year-old virgin, I think. This is only her second ever horror movie, the movie that comes out this week. Her last horror movie was Slither, and I was just trying to—
You didn't say that part.
No, I didn't say it at all. Didn't make it at all clear to anyone who wasn't inside my head what I was trying to say. But just so you know where it was coming from, it wasn't just random and crazy. It was, I was trying to decide or establish whether she was a victim in this movie or if she was an
right.
evil person.
But what I'm saying is, that's how I would ask that question. I'm saying you're stepping on my toes now, bitch.
You don't get it that your motives aren't suspect. It's your execution.
Yes.
We all know that you meant well.
Okay. Bean, what's wrong with you?
I don't know. That's
so we're
that's
still on the phone with Elizabeth Banks,
uh-huh.
who
oh,
will
the poor woman.
Probably never come on our show again.
I know, we burned that bridge.
And Bean talks about seeing the commercial and how exciting it is.
Been seeing the commercials and it looks very exciting and very pulse pounding. But tell me about you as an actress.
It's very pulse pounding.
is that not an appropriate term?
Well, I don't think so. No, I don't
pulse
think so.
Pulse pounding.
I mean, pulse-pounding, isn't that for something that gets your adrenaline flowing? It's
your heart
scary,
pumping?
It's exciting, it's, yeah, that's
I've never heard
that's
of pulse-pounding.
Me neither.
That's what I was heading for.
So then, Bean almost comes up with, I mean, this rivals me. I am going to have to get back on my game and make sure that I come with the goods. Because he's asking Elizabeth Banks about Liam Neeson.
This is Maggie Grace, actually.
Oh, right. Right,
I'm
Maggie
sorry.
Grace.
Okay, yes,
right.
yes, yes. This is Maggie Grace, and he's asking her about Liam Neeson
yes.
and what it's like to work with him.
Sure.
Check this out.
So you meet a guy like that you know, as an actor, and then you're hoping that he's nice. What did it turn out being like to work with him so much?
Come on!
Oh.
Are you kidding me?
God.
That is almost the Ducks question, which was the best of all time.
What did it turn out being like to work with him so much?
So you meet a guy like that you know, as an actor, and then you're hoping that he's nice. What did it turn out being like to work with him so much?
Really?
Man.
I had not heard that, previously. That is strong.
That's so much worse than I remember.
We didn't say anything about it on the air because we were in the middle of an interview. We were running late, so I just marked it. And then
we didn't want to burn another interview with
right.
another hot chick.
Right. We can't turn off every hot chick with Bean's badness.
You should be really worried that
That's
someone
what
is
saying.
Coming for your crown, dude.
I need to step it up.
Wow.
You need to get less sleep.
And then, so yesterday we were talking about Magnum P.I.
Can't be more. Come
oh,
on.
Yeah.
Yesterday we were talking about Magnum P.I. Now, Bean is a student of television. He knows everything there is to know about television. Magnum P.I. was a P.I.,
well,
a private investigator.
Loved Hawaii 5-0, may I
yes,
say. Which took place in
same
Hawaii.
Same era, right?
Yes.
But
yeah.
I think my point
same
was...
Same island.
And I brought up that I've never seen Magnum P.I. That was the point.
Right.
Which is bizarre.
Right. But then you ask this amazing question.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Tom Selleck. You probably know him best as Magnum P.I.
He is a detective. That's what he just
private
solves,
investigator.
Cases.
Magnum
P.I. is the name of the show. I don't know where you could have guessed that he might have been a detective. I don't know where in your deductive reasoning you came up with that, Bean. But
I thought it was Magnum Philippine Islands. I didn't realize.
There's Magnum and there's P.I.
So he chases criminals or solves cases or what does he do?
No, oddly enough, he spends a lot of time gardening, Bean. It's called Magnum P.I., but really he just tends a big garden in Hawaii.
He solves cases, yes, Bean.
Okay.
Wait. Yeah. Yeah.
Larry the Cable Guy does what?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, I could have withdrawn that question had I given it more thought.
What's happening?
Yeah.
What is happening with you?
Bean, I mean, period. Bean. I've been saying that my whole life. I'll be saying it till the day I die. Bean.
So you meet a guy like that, you know, as an actor, and then you're hoping that he's nice. What did it turn out being like to work with him so much?
Come on, people. We may have a new champion.
I'm certainly a contender. I don't know if I win yet, but I'm certainly going for it.
For many years, I was the only player in the game. Welcome, Bean. Welcome.
It's time for this week.
In Rage.
Yeah. All right. First, I want to talk about car doors. I don't know if you guys have noticed. I just got a new car, and it already has one of those big dings in the side where someone else's SUV door had slammed into it. 2 days.
Two days
into it. Just a huge divot right in the side of the thing. And I started to get angry at all the motorists and all the inconsiderate people in the parking lot. I'm thinking to myself, what do? Just roll over and kick the door open with your feet like you, like it's Chappaquiddick or something, like you went off the bridge and you're in a body of water and you have to escape? Like, how are you opening this door? With your arm or you're throwing your shoulder into it? And then I realized as I was opening my door, car doors have two settings. They have the one opening. The one opening, which is like 6 inches, it stops. It's spring-loaded. It's enough to get a greased Biafran through if you if you got a running start. That opening you can't fit through. And then there's the second opening, the one that swings open enough to just get like you could put a herd of buffalo through the second one. The second opens past 90 degrees, and it has a spring in it, and that spring has 600 foot-pounds of torque to it. So if it gets to the second opening, it's going to fly open and put a dent in the side of the car that's next to you. Shouldn't we adjust that? Shouldn't we just have one opening that opens about, you know, 2 feet
halfway,
and normal people can get out? Why do you have have the just enough to let oxygen into the car opening and then fly opening? Ta-da! I'm going to destroy your fender opening because car parking spaces keep getting smaller, cars keep getting bigger, and they keep putting bigger springs inside these doors.
Yeah.
Hey, Detroit. Oh, forget Detroit. Detroit, you're not building cars. Hey, Japan, if you're listening, how about it, huh, buddy? I'm tired of the side of my car looking like the goddamn surface of the moon. All right, number two, the microwave.
The microwave.
How could I have a beef with the microwave?
Yeah, it's the best invention in history.
It is, but it has not evolved one, hasn't moved a centimeter in the last 50 years. Here's the problem. All the takeout food you get, you take the food home, either you order in, or especially when you take home the doggy bag.
Right.
It's not a bag. It'd be nice if it was a bag.
Yeah.
It's a foil container. Like when you go to the Italian place, you get that weird foil thing with that weird top that you can never get back on again.
Sure. Yeah.
That thing. And that thing doesn't go in the microwave. Why? It's foil. It's made of metal.
Yeah.
You have to scrape all the congealed sauce and all the good parts and all the grease off the bottom and scrape it onto a separate tray and put it in. But it's never as good because you don't get the whole essence of it. It's all at the bottom of that tray, and it's all in the serrated edges of it. And then you get the Chinese thing, and that's the paper container. But they put a coat hanger.
They do.
They put a coat hanger, so they're going,
so you can carry
it. Round Eye, this ain't going in the microwave without catching on fire. Here's all I'm saying. Can't we get the guys who manufacture the crap you take food home in and the folks who manufacture microwave and get them on the same effing page? You can't reheat food without transferring it into another container. Can't they just make a container that can go into a microwave? Shouldn't they start implementing that? Or, better yet, shouldn't all the scientists of the world, just for 10 minutes, forget about AIDS, forget about cancer, forget about putting someone on Mars, and work on a microwave that'll handle metal? imagine the utopia of the microwave that could handle metal. Taking all those, coming home from the Italian place with the foil container, putting it in with impunity and laughing as you stare at it heat up with no sparks, no nothing. And not only do microwaves not like metal, they're like allergic to it. They'll start sparking and exploding. It's like, really, it's like you're going to go back in time or something. What is that? Let's get a microwave that can handle some effing metal. How tall an order is that? Or get the folks that manufacture the containers and get them on the same effing page. Yes?
I think that's a good plan.
All right. I'm with you. Last but not least, my number one, Chaz Bono.
Chaz Bono.
First off, you got to feel sorry for the doctor.
This is Cher's daughter.
Yeah.
Slash son.
Yeah, you got to feel sorry for the doctor when she comes walking in for the consultation. And she's like, well, I want to go gender reassignment procedure. I want to undergo one of those. And the doctor's like, which way we... and,
where are you starting from?
You got a smart pantsuit on there. Because I'm pretty good at one. I'm not strong at the other. So if you give me a little hint, just feel like we're at a little fork in the road here.
Which direction are we going?
I'll tell you what. Let me get my nurse get some paperwork. I'm going to go hit a vending machine. And then I thought, gender reassignment surgery is so quaint. It's such a nice euphemism, you know. It's like someone's going to go, hey, Weinstein, you're being moved over to the Chicago office, and Vagenberg is taking your place. We're reassigning it. And then I thought about the other things that are so, I mean, you're getting your junk cut off, and you're having other things put there. It's just gender reassignment surgery. It's like donating an egg. What did you do? Oh, I donated an egg for $5,000, right? Yeah, what else do you donate for $5,000? I don't know a lot of other stuff you donate. Like, I haven't been down to the Goodwill with Grandma's rocking chair and went, oh, I'm going to donate this to you. Okay, that'll be $5,000. No, you're selling your eggs. Yeah. Gender reassignment is you getting your wang lopped off. And don't get me started on animal rescue. You got a free mutt. You got a free dog from the pound. You didn't rescue anything. Rescuing involves a helicopter and you going down on a tether and black ops and a shoulder roll. You just waltzed into a place because you were too cheap to go to where I get my dogs at the puppy mill. Thank you.
This story is fascinating. Bean is obsessed with it and has been since he heard about it. The Kites of Death, by the way, are playing Coachella. I have an email about this. Let me go ahead.
Okay.
You can tell the story, then I'll read the email.
Well, just the short version of the story, if you haven't heard, is there's a festival that goes on every year in Pakistan, and it's called the Basant Festival. Now, that's a word in Hindi that means yellow, and I guess it has to do with flowers that bloom at that time of year. And they do a big national celebration, and part of the celebration is that everybody flies kites. And they don't fly kites over there the way we fly kites over here, because kites over there are the Kites of Death. They have killed something like a dozen people flying kites in all sorts of bizarre ways. People falling off roofs, people getting the cords wrapped around their necks and get their throats strangled. I mean, it's insane. It's like war over there.
So we thought it wasn't possible, and then we did some research. We also got an email from Eric. Kevin, I mean, I heard you guys are going to be talking about flying kites and people getting injured or killed. This is something very common in Brazil as well. He was there. He said, let me explain how the process works. The objective is to battle with the kites in the air and to get the upper hand. So they take the kite string and they line it with ground up glass.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So that they can then cut the other people's string, and then the other kite, when it falls down, you get it wrapped around your line, and then you've got you're the king. You're the last kite standing. They actually try to cut the other strings.
So the goal is to be the only kite left in the sky.
Yes.
And everybody else is cut down somehow. And these people, I mean, there are people getting crushed in a mountain of people trying to chase kites. I mean, it's people fall off roofs. It's insane.
Sometimes the kites just fall and a group of kids are running and chases after the falling kites. They run into power lines. They fall in ditches. A guy was riding his motorcycle and ran into the string while it was drying with the glass, and he was decapitated.
Oh, geez.
It's just craziness.
Oh my God.
All right, here's the question I have about the Kites of Death, and then we're going to make one of our world-famous international telephone calls to Pakistan to find out what's going on. How are these people, who are not smart enough to be able to fly a kite without dying, how are they able to keep Osama bin Laden from us for 6 years?
I don't know.
Mean, what's the deal here?
I don't know. Threads for kite battling are manufactured using special glues, chemicals, crushed glass. I mean, it's just they're Kites of Death. That's what happens. So let's call Pakistan. This should go well.
It is Lahore is the name of the town in Pakistan that we are calling. Can Lahore, Pakistan.
Think positive.
What's that? Hold on. What, Alex?
Hey, I heard you want to talk to Lahore.
No, Lahore. No, Lahore is the name of the town in Pakistan. Not, we're not looking for you, Alex.
But you're calling Whore. I'm
Lahore
here.
No.
Is the name of the town.
Damn it.
Lahore.
All right, what are we what sorry. We calling a hotel here? What are we calling?
Yeah, right. It should be.
This is going to go well. How tough is it to call Pakistan? I don't know
it's
that
like
much about their...
It's like 15 digits, dude.
Kevin, think positive. You can attract Pakistan to you.
That's true.
That, good idea.
See?
Good idea. Hello?
That's us.
That's us. Don't point to it when it's us. We don't need to call each other, Mike.
It's ringing.
Hello, is this the Avari Hotel?
Yes, it is.
In Pakistan. How about that? Outstanding. Sir, we're calling about the Kites of Death. We've heard some news reports about the Lahore Festival that all the people have been killed trying to fly kites. Is that for real? Is really happening over there?
I'm not sure. I'm connecting to the main reception. Someday you can get the information.
Okay, you don't know about the kite festival that's going on, the Basant?
Sorry, I'm speaking from the exchange. So I'm connecting to the main reception. Hold the line. Please.
Okay. I guess the exchange is, what,
they,
here?
They know nothing.
Do they outsource their hotels to here in America? It's weird, though. Pakistan's probably the only place in the world that doesn't outsource to India because they're bitter enemies.
They're enemies, yeah.
This is weird that we can actually call Pakistan. And his English better than ours.
Yeah. Better than mine, for sure.
It's fun to hear you talk and then hear you talk.
It's a weird echo, isn't it? Echo, isn't it? Echo, isn't it?
Secret. It's a secret.
That's
excellent.
hi, sir. Do you speak English?
Yes, I can.
Okay, good. We're calling about your Basant Festival, the kite flying festival. Are you familiar with that?
Yes, kite flying festival is over now, sir.
It's over now.
On 25th of February.
I see. We don't understand here in America why so many people died flying kites. It doesn't seem like it would be that dangerous. Can you help us understand it?
Actually, it's not a dangerous game. If you use the light thread, then it's not a dangerous. But some people, they use a dangerous thread.
The dangerous thread.
So dangerous thread, right.
So they do put, like, shards of glass in the thread so that they can cut other people's kite lines, right?
Very right, very right.
And 12 people died and 500 people were injured.
I don't have the exact figures, but I heard that approximately 7 people were dead.
Wow.
Yeah. It seems like more people dying flying a kite than you would hope for, though.
Actually, it depends on the government. He should take some actions, the people who are using that sharp thread. So
the government's trying to... They're trying to crack down on people who use that kind of thread?
Yeah, some people, they are actually... They like to fly the kite. They like to... they love to fly the kite. But some,
sure.
They don't want to do this.
So we love flying kites here, too, but we don't die.
Yeah, they're not the Kites of Death.
What kind of a place is Lahore? It sounds like a place I would want to visit.
There are many historical places, actually, in Lahore.
Mm-hmm. What kind of city is it? Is it a tourist city? What does it do?
It's a tourist city, historical places, many historical places. Someone who loves historical places, he can visit Lahore. There's too many places.
I see. You said historical?
Yeah, historical city, actually.
Okay. Does it seem like Pakistan would be a good place for Americans to visit right now, or maybe not so much?
It is a very safe and good place to visit.
Sir. Safe and good place. Now that the Kites of Death are gone.
Yeah, exactly. Don't go last week, but go this week. I gotcha. Okay, so that's good news. So they're you're aware of it, and they're cracking down on it, and everything's cool. So we're good, right? So we cool? Are we cool? Hello? Are we not cool? Say we're not cool if we're not cool.
Oh, no.
Be a man.
He's going to come after us with the Kites of Death.
So was Mr. Wizard syndicated or what?
Syndicated to dirt is where he's syndicated.
Oh, yeah. God.
Poor Ralph. What a terrible, terrible midweek disaster for his vacation to find out that the great Mr. Wizard is dead. But he'll be back on Monday morning. We'll take a look at the showbiz beat for him coming up in just a couple of minutes. Also in the 8 o'clock hour, are you paying for bottled water that is no better than tap water? We've got somebody on the phone to explain. And what must it be like to be on the no-fly list? But it's not really you. It's somebody with your name that they're trying to keep off a plane. What a disaster that must be. All of that coming up in the 8 o'clock hour here this morning here on K-Rock.
First,
Tyra Banks is a big fat whore.
Tyra is a whore, a big mean whore.
Big fat whore.
How are you gonna come at my girl like that, Kevin? Come on.
Tyra Banks really blows.
Okay, yesterday, we had Kathy Griffin in the studio,
and
we were talking about Tyra Banks and how she's a big fat whore. And we were telling the story about how Bean defends her at every turn, but he's really
I love her. You know I love her.
But you used to love her is what you mean to say. Because you forwarded me. I think, where did you find this? Was this from the listener or did you find it yourself?
A listener sent in. Apparently, there's some stuff. You all have watched the Tyra Banks talk show from time to time, and you know how they scrape the bottom of the barrel on some episodes. Well, apparently, they think there's so much great material on the Tyra Banks show that they can't put it all on TV. So some of it spills over onto the Tyra Show website. And that, I think, is what a listener tipped us off to here.
Yeah, this clip was Tyra Banks, and I'm just going to play it for you, and I'm going to let you make up your own minds about Tyra Banks and her whoreness.
Okay.
This is from her website.
Hey, what's up? Welcome to TyraShow.com. Okay, when Heather Mills was here, I talked about this little bathroom thing that I thought might have been too gross for on air, even though I know I'm gross a lot.
Okay, now I don't know why she's talking about this with Heather Mills.
No.
But she was.
Yeah, I can't imagine how that would come up. I mean, having a fake leg should not impact a woman's ability to go to the bathroom, right?
Nope.
But this was too gross for her show.
But So let me explain to you. When you go to the bathroom, I know a lot of us don't really want to, like, sit on the toilet in public, so we squat, all right? So you pull your panties down.
Okay, now.
She's explaining how to squat?
Yes.
Yes.
And she's showing you. I mean, she's not pulling her panties down, but she's, like, squatting and going through all the motions so that you, Lisa, as a girl, know how to pee.
Oh,
that's
God.
The kind of help you just can't get anywhere. But Tyra cares.
Right? And then, like, you squat. But, like, imagine this is, like, the toilet seat. Your panty is, like, touching the toilet seat. All right? So what I have learned to do is, like, you got to pull your panties forward and then pee.
Okay, so now she's told you how to do it. Now she goes through and mimics it again.
Because you think, oh, I'm not touching anything. Girl, your panties are rubbing all over that toilet seat. And I just tell my mom this, and she's like, oh, my God, all these years that I have been squatting, thinking I'm being super clean, and my panties was rubbing all on that toilet.
Okay, so she says, Mom, tell me how you pee.
No,
and her mom says, here's how I do it. And she says, well, you're doing it the wrong way. Let me show you the right way.
How does that conversation ever come up with your mom?
It didn't. She never told her mom this.
So, Lisa, girls squat so they don't sit on the seat. That's what she's talking about?
Yes. Some girls do, although I have a problem with that because those same girls often end up peeing on the toilet seat.
Right, but they don't care because they're not sitting on it.
They don't care. They just walk away and leave it for the next girl.
Yes, Psycho Mike.
Equally as disgusting, I think, as Tyra is and the fact that she would take time to do this.
Yeah.
Is these mindless sheep in the background
laughing?
Oh, Tyra, that's so funny. That's so, what nimwit automatons are you to sit in a crowd and just sit there and laugh at her and
call that entertainment?
What is going on?
Thank you for such a satisfying hour.
Oh, your panties are touching the toilet. You're so right.
That's crazy.
Squat, pull forward, pee. Got it. Squat, pull forward, pee. See you later.
And then they clap.
See you later.
Wow. She told everybody how to pee. Good work.
She's awesome.
Nobel Prize.
She's my friend.
You big four-headed whore.
Tyra Banks is a big fat whore.
Tyra is a whore. A big mean whore.
All right, we took a call in Kevin Bean's What I Do Nephew recently from a guy who said that he dated a girl with a tail and it was a deal breaker.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, how dare him. Here's Nick. Good morning.
I've had this booty call. She never wanted me to let me do her doggy style. I finally found out why. She has a tail.
Oh!
No way.
Serious?
Yes, way.
And what happened once you saw it? What did you do? What happened after that?
I didn't say anything. I just kept quiet, but it's a total deal breaker now.
So he finished work and then went home for good.
Well, how could it be a deal breaker if he was able to finish work? That's not... Obviously, it wasn't that bad.
That's what he told us. Bean, on the other hand, well, that would be a huge bonus for him.
I wish there would have been a way for me to find women with tails when I was dating. Honestly, because it was before the internet when I met my wife, you know. But
right.
Wouldn't it have been awesome if I could have gone online and I could have only gone out with women with tails? That way, I would have been guaranteed to end up with one. Oh, that would be the best. I'm so jealous.
I think we're going to look for deal breakers. And the smaller, the better. You know what's small and what's big.
Oh, sure.
You know what other people would consider ridiculous deal breakers.
Yeah.
And this is one of them. It seems like, I don't know, personality and sense of humor and a few other things would come above tail.
Besides which, nobody else would know she had a tail, which to me is one of the things.
Yeah.
You know, if someone dresses really badly, everybody knows you're dating a dork.
Sure.
That's harder to do.
Right.
But if it's just something that you're the only person who's going to know.
Mm-hmm.
Not that bad.
Depends on how long the tail is. What if the tail's like 4 feet?
That's a problem.
Then other people would know.
Yes.
Then she could bring you more than one beer at a time. What's your problem with that?
So ridiculous deal breakers is what we're looking for. 1-800-520-1067. You didn't realize maybe it was even going to have that effect on you, but it did. Mm-hmm. Something happened, or you saw something, or you heard something, or you smelled something. I don't know. I don't know what the deal breakers are.
So we're not talking about the biggies. We're not talking about I couldn't go out with him because, you know, he was Jewish and I'm Christian,
right,
for instance. That's not what we're talking about. That stuff happens all the time. We're talking about I couldn't go out with him because he slurped when he ate. You know, something that in the big picture seems like something you ought to be able to overcome.
Exactly.
His fingernails were a little too long and he wouldn't cut them. Something like that.
That happened to you, Lisa?
No, I'm just trying to think of weird,
personal,
stupid things.
Personal experience there you want to tell us about?
No, right. But that would bother me, actually.
Long fingernails?
Yeah, ew.
Yeah. Psycho Mike actually let his toenails grow just to gross his wife out.
Yeah, that's
on
nice.
Purpose. I thought that was a nice touch. So let's take a few calls. Let's say good morning to Jay in Rancho Santa Margarita. Good morning, Jay.
Hey, good morning, guys. Good morning, Lisa, man.
Hi, Jay.
Deal breaker? Ridiculous deal breaker?
Man hands.
Man hands.
Really?
So a chick had hands that looked like a dude, and you probably could never get over the idea maybe it was a dude.
You know, my best friend's sister is just drop-dead gorgeous. She is 5'11" and just the most beautiful woman you've ever seen, but she's got these hands that look like a roofer.
She's 5'11", for God's sakes. I imagine your feet are big, too.
Does she know that her hands are man hands?
I don't know. She doesn't talk about them.
Yeah.
Can't let her touch me. It's just wrong.
Isn't that interesting? How about that?
It's your best friend's sister?
Yeah.
So you're telling me without the man hands, you would have closed that deal?
Maybe 15 years ago, yeah. I mean, it would have been that long ago, but yeah, those hands, no. Sorry.
Okay.
That's
all right.
An interesting one.
I won't mention any names, but we know a girl who's very similar to what he described. Very, very attractive, but has the man hands, and you can't stop thinking about it. There's no way to get past it. Well, I'm not going to say. I'm not going to say. 1-800-520-1067. Let's talk to Matt in Yorba Belinda, because, again, this is one where I kind of see where he's coming from, but it also seems like you ought to be able to get past it.
Well, it seems like there should be something you can do about it.
A conversation?
Yeah. Matt in Yorba Belinda. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
Good morning, Lisa May.
Hi, Matt.
All right.
I had a girlfriend. She had two hairs on her nipple.
Kind of like the ones that grow out of moles.
Did you say anything about that?
Yeah, I mentioned it numerous times that maybe she wanted to pluck those or get rid of them. And she's a little afraid that they come in even longer and thicker, I guess. And she just never would. So every once in a while in the moment, you know,
you look at the boob beard and you say, can't do it.
Yeah.
All right.
And I just couldn't take it anymore.
By the way, nipple hair is playing Coachella. They're opening up.
Matt, would you say that really was, no joke, a contributing factor to the reason why you guys aren't still together?
Oh, absolutely.
Wow.
All right. That's exactly what we're looking for. The type of thing that ought to be something you can get past. And like Lisa said, Lisa, you're a woman. How would somebody approach you about clipping those or cutting those or pulling those and not get you upset?
Well, I might get upset initially, but I would take care of it.
Of course.
It would be upsetting at first, but then you handle it and you move on.
Yeah. Okay.
Just
pull a Mike Tyson on him. Just bite him right off.
Mike broke up with a girl because she chewed with her mouth open,
yeah,
right?
First date, would not talk to her, be around her again because she chewed with her mouth open. She ate like a goddamn barbarian. And I said, that's it, done. And she was smoke.
Was she hot?
Oh, no, like retarded hot, yeah. And it didn't matter to me. She ate like a Philistine.
All right, let's go to Philistine, by the way. First mentioned this year of
yes,
that.
Yes, absolutely.
Brittany in Sherman Oaks, good morning.
Hi.
Hi, Brittany.
Deal breakers.
My boyfriend's voice was higher than mine.
Oh, really?
Really? What are you talking about? Were you dating Nick? Our window licker? His voice was higher than yours.
Yes. Every time he spoke, I wanted to smack him so hard.
Brittany, knew that going in.
Yeah, didn't you know that when you first met him?
Yeah, but I met him at a concert, so I couldn't really hear his voice.
Oh. Did you like most everything else that you knew about him at that time? That was the deal breaker? That was the only thing that really killed it for you?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Well
that hurts.
Like that
just doesn't seem fair, you guys.
That's not very nice.
I can just the way I am, there's nothing I can do. Catherine in Redondo Beach, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Catherine.
Talking about ridiculous deal breakers, the first person that called had a problem with a girlfriend with a tail. What's yours?
He'd never been on an airplane before.
What?
Was he afraid?
No, he just said never travel anywhere, never wanted to go anywhere.
Oh, yeah. That is a deal
breaker. That's more of a character.
That's a lifestyle choice.
Yeah, I mean, it's more of a, he doesn't like to do things than it is a, I mean, you broke up with him because he's never been on an airplane?
Yeah, I didn't want to be with somebody who'd never been outside of the country.
And wasn't interested in it.
Yeah, wasn't interested. Went to Las Vegas to do something fun.
Okay, you know? Right. Hey, yeah, because there are a lot of people who've never been on an airplane, but most of them are not opposed to it. Most of them would be willing to go on an airplane to go someplace.
Right.
They just haven't had the opportunity yet. Okay, I got you. All right, thank you, Catherine, for the call. Let's do one more here before the break. Let's go to Nicole in Chino, because this is a bizarre one, I think.
Nicole?
Yeah, hey.
Hi there.
I was dating a guy and he invited me over. He just moved to a new place. So I went there and he's like, you got to come look at my kitchen. So I walk in his kitchen, and where normal people have dishes in a pantry, he has about 300 action figures lined up alphabetically.
Well, that's
like really crazy Todd McFarlane, like people being ripped apart ones. And he was an artist, so I thought, oh my God, I got to get out of here immediately.
Turn and run.
Just because of the action figures?
terrifying.
I think I can see the scariness of that. However, Nicole, if you weren't so short-sighted, if you could have looked ahead 40 years when he sells them for $3.5 million, you're going to wish you'd stuck around.
No.
Good call. But they were out of the box and lined up freaky. I don't know.
Still have to be with that guy.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it.
Yeah, I think we agree with you on that one. That's a scary one. Thank you for calling. All right, 1-800-520-1067. We'll take a quick break and come back with more calls. All right, let's talk to Marissa. I don't think this is a small thing.
No, I don't either.
I mean, we were talking about the guy who called in and said the girl had a tail, and that was a deal breaker for him. Marissa, good morning.
Hi.
Hi, Marissa.
What did your dude do that drove you away?
he was from out of town, so I wasn't used to, like, being with him. So one morning, the bed was wet, and I was like, what is going on? Why is the bed wet? And he played it off like it came from nowhere. I don't know. And I was like,
it came from nowhere.
Yeah.
So he said, I have no idea why the bed is wet, and he's a bed wetter?
Yeah, he was like not housebroken or something. Huh? I don't know what it was.
Wow.
There's no explanation as to why we're laying in my urine right now. There's no reason I can think of.
I know it wasn't me.
Yeah, and I had to change the sheets and everything.
Oh, man. Now, see, that's not tiny enough. That, to me, that is a deal breaker.
That is
a deal breaker. But let me ask you this, Marissa, because I don't know much about this topic, but it seems like that happens sometimes if somebody like drinks way, way too much and then they're just in a fog all night long. Or was this a regular thing that would have continued to happen with him if you'd stayed together?
I don't know. He just did it, like, he did it once, and being that he played it off and just couldn't accept it or whatever, I was just like, This is a weird situation.
You were out. Okay, I got you. All right, thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
That's enough. I can see that. I can see, especially if he didn't at least cop to it and say, I drank too much or whatever.
Yeah.
I can totally see that. Brandy and Whittier, good morning.
Morning.
Talking about deal breakers that are tiny.
Well, my deal breaker, I think I have issues with my boyfriend's parents because they can't speak English. So I broke up with him.
What?
I would like to be able to talk to his parents, and I can't.
What are they?
Do
they speak Spanish? What do they speak?
They speak Spanish.
Yeah. Well, Spanish isn't that hard a language. You could learn a little.
Yeah, don't you take Spanish in high school or whatever so you could learn that?
I took like 3 years, but it didn't help me at all.
Yeah. Hey, I feel you.
I feel you, sister. Hey, Brandy, did your boyfriend speak both?
He spoke a little Spanish. His parents were both from Mexico, but he swore he was like half white or something. But he, I guess a little bit.
But wait a minute.
So he couldn't translate for you?
He could, but why would I want to do that? I'd rather be able to talk to them myself.
Okay, so you had nothing against your boyfriend. It was just that his parents couldn't speak English.
Yeah, just that his parents couldn't speak English.
Wow. Hey, Brandy. All right, if it ain't white, it ain't right, I guess.
You're bad. You're just bad.
Hey, Brandy. Adios.
Let's see here. Where should we go?
Oh, well, Jill is great. I'm sure Jill is speaking for a lot of women out there for this one.
Jill, good morning.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. Hey, Lisa.
Hi, Jill.
Deal breaker.
Okay. So I had this boyfriend about 2 years ago, and he did baby talk.
Oh, no.
And, you know, at first it was just like, I love you, and oh, I miss you, and I'm like, oh, that's cute, that's cute. And then I guess he started feeling a little bit more comfortable, because every time we'd be at his house kissing, and I was starting to feel good, you know?
Right.
And he looked at me and he goes, are you horny?
I'm like, oh!
Oh, yuck.
Oh,
yuck, exactly.
Run fast.
That is not the voice you want to hear those words with.
No, I'm just like, damn, man, come on.
Dude. Oh, you're so cute. Oh, you're so cute.
Wow. All right, that's a good choice, Jill. Thank you.
All right, what about Chloe and Walnut? This seems tiny. This is the type of thing that I think I'm talking about. The poor guy, I don't think he can even do anything about it. Hey, Chloe, you're on the Kevin and Bean Show on Q-Rock. What was the deal breaker for you?
Hi, good morning.
Hi there.
Hi.
My deal breaker was, well, I had a boyfriend, he's not a boyfriend, I just dated him,
right.
And he had the longest neck in the world.
Long neck? What's he supposed to do about that?
I think it was 5 inches. I think I tried to measure it with my head.
You tried to measure it with your head.
What he needs to do about that is find another girl, because he's a giraffe.
Long neck, but you know what they say about long neck, long...
After a week of dating him, that's all I could see was his neck, and I just couldn't stand it anymore. And I had to
the poor guy.
His name was Nick, and she said, "Hey, Nick."
but Chloe, it wasn't his fault. It's not like a baby talk or something like that, or pee in the bed or something that he could have done something about. What did you want him to do?
Shorten his goddamn neck.
I have a little trouble with lack of chin.
Lack of chin.
Yeah,
do you?
That's a little bothersome.
Wow, man, people are picky.
Oh,
no,
you should hear you guys pick apart women on the internet.
Well, I mean, that's,
please.
Yeah, but that's
people
just...
People are picky.
But that's in a perfect world. I mean, you know, come on.
Plus, they deserve it. All right, Chloe, thank you for the call. Do we have time for one more? Can we do Nicole maybe before we go up in Ventura?
We don't have time for Steve and the lollipop-shaped thumbs.
Oh, sorry, Steve.
We don't have time for that.
For Blanca with the guy with the gay tattoo. We don't have time for that one either. But Nicole, we're squeezing you in. What's the deal breaker for you, my dear?
Hi, am I on?
Yes, you are on. Deal breaker.
Okay. Good morning, guys.
Hi. Hi, Nicole.
Okay, so this was like 5 years ago, and I was completely infatuated with this guy that I went to school with.
Right.
And finally, you know, we hit it off, went on a few dates, and finally we were able to have sex, right? So
right.
It was hot, and it was passionate, and it was everything, and it was great. And I just, the whole time, I'm going, oh, my God, this is something I can do every day, all day. And after, he straight pulls up his hand and asks, for a high five.
Yes!
Thank you. I like you. I like sex.
Oh, no.
A high five.
And I'm all, and I just, and I gave him a high five, but afterwards I was like, okay, I gotta go.
Come on. He wanted a high five. Things went well.
But it wasn't a baseball game. It wasn't a little league game.
Oh, yeah, that's bizarre.
So that was it. Just one time you guys did it. It was great, but you never went back just because of the high five.
Because of the high five.
My preference, dog style.
Mm-hmm. I'm not all about
yes.
that.
Yes. I like.
Okay, thanks for the call.